This is the Patriots post-game show with Adam Jones on Patriots.com radio.
First and 10 Patriots from their own one-yard line. Look at this. Brady's going to go with an empty backfield. Brady takes the snap, back to throw, gets rid of it down the field. Caught, 20-yard line, 30, 35, 40, down the left sideline. He's going to go the distance, a 99-yard touchdown play.
The Patriots postgame show is your source for instant news and reaction following every Patriots game.
The Patriots are Super Bowl champions!
Join the conversation by calling the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com. Now, live from the Subway Fresh Broadcast Studios inside Gillette Stadium, here's your host, Adam Jones.
Fun while it lasted, huh? Tebow mania looks like it comes to a crashing halt in Denver with the Patriots picking up a 41-23 victory over the Denver Broncos. It is the Patriots post-game show. Adam Jones live from our Subway Fresh Broadcast Studios inside Gillette Stadium. Here's how you get in touch. You can give us a call on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398, or email us webradio@patriots.com. And look, no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Patriots come up with a statement victory today in Denver. I've been telling you for weeks now, they've been beating up on the Chiefs and the Colts of the world. I've been asking for a statement game from this team, a statement game from this defense, and I think today we got it. Obviously, a rocky first quarter from the Patriots, gave up a ton of yards on the ground. Tebow comes out looking like the fourth quarter Tim Tebow that you've seen on the highlight reels, and at least I'm sitting there watching and going, okay, when is this defense going to get any kind of stop? And you know what? The second quarter happened, and the Patriots turned the game, starting with their defense. The offense obviously fired on all cylinders throughout the course of the game here today. And the Patriots, in the process, clinched the AFC East with their victory in the division today. The Jets also get crushed by the Eagles as the Patriots move to 11-3. They got some other good news from around the AFC with the Texans falling earlier today. We'll keep our eyes tonight on the Ravens taking on the Chargers and, of course, the Steelers tomorrow night against the 49ers. But the Patriots very well could wake up on Tuesday morning atop the AFC with those 11 victories. Again, give us a call here on the Patriots postgame show at 508-298-0398 or send your emails to webradio@patriots.com. Your thoughts on this Patriots victory, 41-23 over the Denver Broncos. And like I said, I expected Tebow to have a big game against this Patriots defense. Didn't think he played terribly, but got to give the Patriots defense props after this performance. Quick heads up on how things will go here on the program. We'll talk or hear from Patriots head coach Bill Belichick coming up shortly after 8 o'clock East Coast time. You'll also hear from Tom Brady coming up in about an hour, and we'll get a player from the Patriots' victorious locker room, and it's going to be Patriots running back Danny Woodhead who will join us here in just a couple of minutes. But let's kick things off as we always do on the Patriots postgame show with the good, the bad, and the injured.
Now it's time for the good.
Nice!
The bad.
Can y'all talk to me, all right? Knock it off!
And the injured.
I've fallen, and I can't get up.
On the Patriots postgame show with Adam Jones on Patriots.com radio.
Not enough room on the good list in this game as the Patriots pick up the 41-23 victory. We'll start with their second quarter defense, where they forced three fumbles, also forced a three and out against the Broncos. It led to 20 points for the Patriots. That's where they turned that game around. And the guys who turned it, Mark Anderson, Ron Brace, they came in, they were getting snaps for the injured Andre Carter, who we'll get to in just a little bit. Both forced fumbles. That was a major turning point in the second quarter. So that defense was on my good list, as was Aaron Hernandez, who joined us last week on the Patriots postgame show. Maybe we gave him a bit of good luck. Career high nine receptions and career high 129 yards for Aaron Hernandez, got in the end zone on the Patriots' third drive. Also, had a 16-yard rush just for good measure. He was a complete matchup nightmare for the Broncos throughout, as Rob Gronkowski had a relatively quiet day. And you know what? I feel like we have him on there an awful lot, but when you get three touchdowns and pass for over 300 yards and complete 23 of 34 passes, you have to be on the good list following the game. And Tom Brady, you know how much this performance meant to him? After hearing about Tebow all week, did you see him let out a little bit of emotion after that one-yard touchdown run with the spike? So a big statement game, not just for the Patriots, but for Tom Brady as well, as a lot of focus throughout the week was on the opposing team's quarterback. On the bad list, that first quarter run defense was atrocious, and I give the Patriots all the credit in the world for turning things around, But my goodness, you're sitting there watching the first quarter. Broncos ran for 167 yards in the first quarter. They averaged 156 yards a game coming into this one. And the Patriots' season high allowed was last week, 170 against the Redskins. And I'll tell you what, you're watching that opening drive, and it's a 19-yard run from McGahee, 7-yard run from Tebow, 25-yard run from Johnson. Then Tebow gets that 9-yard touchdown run, and you're sitting there going, man, when is this run defense going to buckle down? And then it was just long play after long play, but the defense did buckle down in the second quarter. Rob Ninkovich in the crosshairs when he missed Tebow on that 9-yard touchdown run, just flung him off his back as Tebow able to scamper in and give the Patriots an early 7-0 lead. And also Matt Slater benched in this one as he started the game, I believe it was the first two drives, and was benched on that third drive as Sergio Brown came in and replaced him. That should tell you all you need to know about Matt Slater's day. On the injured list, Andre Carter. And obviously this one, I was talking about it with Matt LaPan, our producer. It's a season ender is what it looks like when you see a guy getting carted off the field, a knee injury with no contact. You think at least season ender. I mean, you keep your fingers crossed, you hope. Could be a career ender when you talk about a guy at that age, and I hadn't thought about it in those terms. But certainly something to bear watching. You hope for the best, but certainly it looked like the worst out on the field for Andre Carter. He did not return after going down in the first quarter. A couple other players dinged up in this one for the New England Patriots. Kyle Arrington, also Brian Waters, and James Ahedebo all shaken up over the course of the game as the Patriots pick up a 41-23 victory over the Denver Broncos in a true statement game. I've been begging, pleading for I don't know how many weeks, at least a month, saying I need to see something, some type of performance that's going to make me buy into not only this Patriots team, but the defense. And I thought we got that today. I was wrong all week when I said Tebow would pass all over this Patriots secondary. I picked the Broncos to win outright, so I was dead wrong all week. And this was a statement game from the Patriots. This is the type of performance on the road, especially in a building they've struggled in, that'll get me to buy in to the Patriots come the postseason. And we told you they might wake up on Tuesday as the number one seed in the AFC. We'll get to you on the phones, 508-298-0398. That's the Ace Ticket Hotline. You can email us, webradio@patriots.com. We'll kick things off with Ray down in Florida. You're first up here on patriots.com. What's up, Ray?
Hey, what's up, Pac-Man?
How you doing?
How you doing, man? I saw that call last week.
What'd you think of that win today?
Hey, man, I think Brady played a good game. You know, you could see it on his eyes. Brady was up to his business today, and he wasn't going to lose this game. I mean, he was determined today, and you could see it on his eyes. Other than that, I think Hernandez played a great game, and our defense held on when it needed to. You know what I'm saying?
No, I totally agree. I was sitting there watching early on in that game, and I don't know how you could be feeling confident about that performance in the first quarter. You know, they came out, they ran it, Tebow was throwing it. I believe he completed his first three passes, and you're sitting there going, here we go again with this Patriots defense. And, you know, just monitoring the Twitter sphere, as I tend to do over the course of these games, people are talking about the Patriots defense, and rightfully so, as just an awful performance. I'm talking about national writers sitting there looking at the Patriots defense going, this is worse than I thought. This is a worse defensive team than I thought. And you know what? They buckled down in the second quarter. We told you. The Patriots turned this game around with their defense. And I don't think that's something that should fly under the radar. All those turnovers in the second quarter turned this game around. The Patriots continuously got short fields. We told you. Ron Brace forced a fumble, recovered by Ninkovich, which led to a Patriots field goal. Gave him the lead. You also had Mark Anderson force a fumble getting after Tim Tebow, which led to another Patriots touchdown. That was the Brady one-yard run and the emphatic spike. Then you had the muff punt right before halftime where Steven Gostkowski able to give the Patriots an 11-point lead. That's how the Patriots turned the game around, short fields, and were able to capitalize. And look, the offense fired on all cylinders, as we told you today, but I thought it was a nice, nice performance by the Patriots defense, and I've been looking for one of those for a month, and I'm happy to see we got one. Patriots post-game show with Adam Jones. We are live from our Subway Fresh Broadcast Studios inside Gillette Stadium. You can give us a call on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398, or email us webradio@patriots.com. Don't forget, we'll be hoping to hear from Danny Woodhead from the victorious Patriots locker room coming up in just a little bit. We'll take your phone calls in the interim. We'll go to Josh in Maine. You're next up here on the Patriots postgame show. Hey, Josh.
Hey, what's going on, Adam?
Not much, man.
I just got a couple points.
Sure.
I've been following Patriots for years. I've got a few friends that are Denver fans. I've been predicting Patriots blow it all week. I knew that the first quarter was going to go Denver's way. I said that. Denver starts out slow, but the Patriots start out slower, I have felt. Denver got up. Patriots blew the game up. I thought Matt Light, Nate Solder had a pretty decent game against Von Miller and Elvis Dumerville. I thought things went pretty well that way. And I knew second, third quarter, Brady was going to do what he did. Nothing surprised me with shutting Gronk down. I'm a huge Gronk fan, have been since last year when he started. I thought everything was great that way. And it did not surprise me that Aaron Hernandez lit him up. Denver, pretty decent defense, haven't gone against a number of a top seed offense. They went against Detroit that scored 45, I believe, on them. Patriots come in, score a bunch of points. Brady says, oh, you want to take this away? I'll take this. Not a problem.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what.
All day long, they'll do what they're going to do. Scored points. Thank you.
Yeah, and Josh, thanks for the phone call. 508-298-0398. And thanks for the phone call. You know, we're looking at Aaron Hernandez as a matchup problem early on in that game. It was obvious. That 46-yard catch on third down when the Patriots did nothing their first two downs. 46-yard catch, which, by the way, haven't mentioned this, set up a 33-yard touchdown by Chad Ochocinco on just total blown coverage by the Broncos, but you'll take it. Wants to get in the end zone. I said this on Twitter. I don't know what was the bigger upset. Ocho getting into the end zone.
Bill!
Or the fact that he didn't Tebow as his celebration in the end zone. I fully expected that from Chad Ochocinco. Just no creativity from Ocho, which was disappointing for me the first time we saw him get in the end zone. But look, Hernandez was immense throughout the course of the game. He had a 16-yard run on the third drive, also had that touchdown. And throughout the course of the game, 25-yard catch on that fourth down play. You know, Aaron Hernandez came up time and again over the course of the game. And the Broncos just had no one to match up with him. And the Patriots needed him. Without Deion Branch, they needed someone as that third receiver. And we said, Ocho got a touchdown early on, but Hernandez really was the guy who functioned as that second or third receiver in the Patriots offense behind Welker and behind Gronkowski. He had a career day today against that Denver Broncos defense. I do want to mention one thing, and I give the Patriots all the credit in the world defensively today, but there was an element of the Broncos shooting themselves in the foot. And maybe they were overly amped for this game. Way too many penalties in this one by John Fox's crew. Denver's 7 penalties for 39 yards, and a lot of them came in these head-scratching situations, like the Robert Ayers hands-to-the-face one in the third quarter on 3rd and 24, Patriots' first drive where the Broncos could have turned momentum a bit. I just thought the Broncos had a lot of those plays, and maybe it's being too amped up going against a team like the Patriots. They haven't. Their best win was the Jets at home, which, coming before this game, was the Patriots' best win as well. But I don't think the Broncos' schedule, similar to the Patriots' schedule, had a ton of playoff-caliber opponents on it, so maybe they were overly amped up for this. I also thought John Fox made a terrible call in this when they were up 13-7 early on in the game. It's 4th and 1. They are running like crazy, and John Fox decides to settle for a field goal, and I just didn't agree with that at the time. And honestly, the Patriots turned around, and you know the Broncos didn't score again until it was 34-23. And I just thought that was a head-scratching decision by John Fox. His offense was rolling. I understand you're trying to keep the ball out of Tom Brady's hands. I understand you're trying to milk the clock. I thought that was a turning point in the game. And credit the Patriots for taking advantage of it. Credit the Patriots for forcing all those turnovers as they did in the second quarter. But there was that element of the Broncos, and I thought it started with the coaching staff shooting themselves in the foot. Again, it is the Patriots post-game show. Adam Jones live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. You can give us a call on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398, or email us webradio@patriots.com. Your thoughts on this Patriots victory over Tim Tebow and the Denver Broncos, 41-23. Patriots move to 11-3 on the season, clinch the AFC East. After this win today, how do you feel about the Patriots' chances winning a playoff game, or maybe two? I got to tell you, I feel infinitely better about that. Now that the Patriots beat what I think, playoff-caliber opponent, look, the Broncos got a major gift from the Detroit Lions with the Lions coming back and beating the Raiders. But I do think this is a playoff caliber opponent. I think that's a team that with a home playoff game, with the right matchup, they could win a playoff game. So for me, I thought this was a big win today for the Patriots, at least for me to buy in to them winning a playoff game moving forward. And it also just about cements a bye week. But I thought this was a big win for them, at least from my standpoint, to buy into this Patriots team winning a game in the postseason. How did it affect your view on the Patriots winning a postseason game? 508-298-0398. Emails go to webradio@patriots.com. Let's go to John in Detroit. You're next up here on the Patriots postgame show. Hey, John.
Hey, Adam. How are you?
Doing well, man.
I'm doing great, too. What a great game.
I thought it was their best performance in quite some time.
Yes, and before we begin, I'd just like to thank my Lord and my Savior.
Well, John, you gotta get that out of the way, of course.
Well, we found out which team God roots for, I guess.
No, he's clearly a Patriots fan, clearly.
Yeah, but, you know, they're dancing also on the streets of Detroit. What a win by Detroit as well. I don't want to get off the subject of the Patriots, but big win by Detroit. But I just want to give it up to the Patriots. Special teams came through. I was a little nervous in the beginning, but I thought it was a real solid performance by the Patriots. And unlike you, I feel like the Patriots can go, you know, at least a couple of rounds in the playoffs now.
Yeah, I mean, John, a win like this, and thanks for the phone call, 508-298-0398. That's the Ace Ticket Hotline. Your emails go to webradio@patriots.com. A win like this changes my view on the Patriots. I've been asking for them to beat a playoff-caliber opponent and go back and look at their schedule. You know, who have they really beaten? Who's a playoff-caliber team? Jets twice. That's a clear one, although the Jets took a pretty significant step back today. I think the Cowboys are a playoff-caliber opponent. Other than that, you kind of look at the Patriots schedule and go, well, where are the impressive wins before this Denver one? Couldn't beat the Giants, couldn't beat the Steelers, some of the elite quarterbacks they had gone against, kind of left you wanting more. So, I don't know, maybe I had too lofty standards. I'd had this game asterisked for a long period of time. I wanted to see the Patriots beat this kind of opponent, a playoff-caliber team on the road. There is, look, making out the bad list before this one, it was nitpicking outside of that first quarter to go back and really look at an area where this Patriots team struggled. A 41-23 statement victory. They clinched the division. Honestly, I came in here and was happy with the defense last week, getting a stop at the end of the Redskins game. Now they hold a team to 23 points, and granted, a team that had struggled to score early on in football games. But I don't know. I thought this was the most impressive performance we've seen in a long time, LePan, maybe going all the way back to that Cowboys game for the Patriots.
I can agree on that, and one thing, don't look now, but the Eagles might be a playoff team.
Yeah, they're starting to rally a little bit as well, so good point. That's a team that the Patriots manhandled. 508-298-0398, that's the Ace Ticket Hotline. You can email us, webradio@patriots.com. A lot of these rolling in, and look, I was dead wrong all week about the Broncos. I told you that. I thought the Broncos would take care of the Patriots, and the Patriots proved me wrong. So we've been getting a lot of these from Nicholas writing into webradio@patriots.com. All those Pats non-believers, hand in your jerseys. We don't need or want you on our side. Tom taught that fraud a lesson as the Patriots are going to the playoffs here. And the Patriots do pick up a 41-23 victory over the Denver Broncos. And again, shove it in the face of Tim Tebow, the Denver Broncos, everyone who picked the Broncos this week, like myself. But also, the Patriots, at least for me, changed my perception on whether or not they can win a game in the postseason. They have me buying in after this victory today. 508-298-0398, that's the Ace Ticket Hotline. You can email us, webradio@patriots.com. It is the Patriots postgame show with Adam Jones. We are live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. Patriots move to 11-3 with that victory over the Denver Broncos, 41-23. And we'll continue with your phone calls here. Let's go to Simon in Miami. You're next up here on the Patriots postgame show. What's going on, man?
Hey, Simone in Miami. How you doing?
Oh, what's going on, Simone?
Hey. So I was just wondering, in terms of the way that Washington, you know, beat the Giants today, does that change, you know, now looking back on how the defense was carved up, you know, does that change the thinking on this defense? Not just in how they responded today, but, you know, maybe Washington's offense isn't as bad as we thought.
Well, and I think that's a fair point, Simone. I would also look at it on the flip side, though, and say, you know, that Washington Redskins defense was able to shut down the Giants' offense that the Patriots couldn't stop at the end of the game. But no, I understand what you're saying. Look, I didn't come in hating on the Patriots defense last week. I've been doing it all year, but last week I came in and said, look, they got the stop when it mattered. They gave up a lot of yards, but I don't know. I think when you get a stop at the end of the game, you should give the defense some credit. And that's what I did all last week on the postgame show. And Simone, I think this was even better. You take away that first quarter and the Broncos barely moved it until that last drive at the end of the game. And I don't know, you look back on that now, that drive felt pretty cosmetic.
Yeah, I thought today was really impressive, and I just got a little worried at one point when the offense seemed to be stalling out, and then, you know, but then they got it together too. So that's where I've kind of seen it, when the defense does actually finally hold the other team, and then the offense goes three and out. But today they, you know, handled that well, so it was as good as it could get, really.
No, Simone, and it's a good point. 508-298-0398. That's the Ace Ticket Hotline. You can email us webradio@patriots.com. And I think what he's speaking to is the Patriots. They get on this 34-16 lead, and then they go four plays, 12 yards, have to punt. It's that play where Dumerville just drills Brady. I don't know if you remember that play, but Solder gets beat. It's a total mix-up off the right side, and Dumerville comes in and just lays Brady out. And then Tebow has that two-yard run at the end of the drive where he hit Demaryius Thomas for 39 yards on 3rd and 18, and then he hits Mike Ball on the next play for 34 yards, and you're sitting there going, well, okay, look at this team. Excuse me, Lance Ball for 34 yards, and you're going, look at this team driving down the field. Now it's 34-23, and I think what Simone was talking about was the Patriots' offense then answering with a 9-play, 80-yard drive. They ate up some clock. Green Ellis punched it in from 1 yard out. It was that long play to Rob Gronkowski, 38 yards. It was a great answer by the Patriots when momentum could have turned late in that fourth quarter. They ground down some clock and put the game out of reach, 41-23, to move to 11-3. It is the Patriots postgame show. Adam Jones, live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. We'll continue to hear from you on the phones. The Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Let's go to Mark in Reno. You're next up here on Patriots.com. Hey, Mark.
Hey, Adam. How's it going, man?
Going well, man. How are you?
Hey, you know, I grew up in Ashland, Massachusetts, graduated from that high school. But I dig your show, man. You're totally fair with everything you say, but if I was the rest of the NFL, I'd watch out, because Brady is evil. He can hurt you, and they make adjustments on the defense. You know, give us some time. We can kick some butt.
Yeah, and Mark, I hear what you're saying, at least partially with Tom Brady. Don't know about the evil part, but certainly Brady with a big answer. And I don't know, maybe I'm reading too much into it, but how'd you view that spike from Tom Brady in the end zone after that 1 yard run? It's like, hey, screw the national media. Screw guys like me for picking the Broncos this week and talking about Tim Tebow all week on our show, ESPN Boston Radio, over on ESPNBoston.com, noon to two. A lot of Tebow talk on the program. And we were focusing mainly on Tebow against that Patriots defense. I thought that was the more interesting storyline over the course of the week. We spent an inordinate amount of time talking about it, so I'm not just going to pin this on the national media. I was right there talking up Tim Tebow as much as anyone. And I don't know, that spike from Brady in the end zone seemed like a big old F you, whether it was for people talking about Tebow more than Brady, whether it was for people focusing more on the Broncos this week than they were on the Patriots, who came in and just blew the doors off Denver after the first quarter. I don't know, but it seemed like he let off an awful lot of steam after that touchdown. And I think that tells you a lot about where the Patriots were in terms of their emotional investment in this win. That's how I viewed that anyway. And again, you'll hear from Patriots head coach Bill Belichick coming up in about 10 minutes on the Patriots postgame show here on Patriots.com. You can get in touch 508-298-0398. That's the Ace Ticket Hotline. You can email us webradio@patriots.com. Let's go to William in Florida. You're next up here on the Patriots postgame show. Hey, William.
Hello, Adam. How you doing?
Doing well, man. What'd you think of that win?
I thought it was great. I've actually been trying to call in a few weeks but I wanted to mention something here. Remember last season when they lost to Cleveland and Peyton Hillis had all those yards rushing?
Mm-hmm.
Last week they finally did it. They had gone like 21 consecutive games without giving up a 100-yard back. And Denver, they may be 31st in the league passing, but they came in the number one rushing team, and they started out great. Patriots defense, I mean, I remember you were getting on them because their schedule appears to be pretty soft, mm-hmm. but, you know, this was a division-winning team playing at home. Tom Brady's like, what, 1-5 against them? So I thought it was a pretty impressive win, one that they needed, and their defense played very, very well,
no,
I would say.
William, totally, and thanks for the phone call, 508-298-0398. That's the Ace Ticket Hotline. Look, I think a lot of people who were defending Tebow over the course of the week, and I certainly was one of them, I thought he'd play well in this game. I thought the Broncos would win. I don't know. I think a lot of people are going to explain this away and say, well, you know what? you know, he didn't play that badly. He's not the reason they lost. I'm not saying that at all. The Patriots defense did something that no other team besides the Lions could do. The Patriots defense, after the first quarter, really shut down Tim Tebow. And that Denver attack and just blew them out. And give the Patriots offense some credit for stretching the game out. But, I don't know, they held the Broncos to 393 yards. Not that that's great. But after the first quarter, when the Broncos were up over, what, 200 total yards after the first quarter?
238 in the first quarter.
That's pretty impressive. You know, you're sitting there going, okay, that's like 150 yards for the whole rest of the game. You know, they stopped the Broncos a couple of times on fourth down. They held them to 4 of 10 on third down. You know, the Broncos were able to convert in the red zone. But, I don't know, the Patriots defense forced turnovers. I'm totally willing to give the Patriots credit this week. I had poked holes in the schedule previously, but I had also said at the same time, if they go beat the Broncos, especially in convincing fashion and limit Tebow, which I feel they did, if they do that, then I'm going to give them all the credit in the world. And I haven't looked at them as a Super Bowl contender before this week. You know, and I don't know, I still don't love their chances against the Steelers, but every other team in the AFC, I'd pick them against now, especially if they're going to be at home. I'm not picking Baltimore over the Patriots. I'm not picking Joe Flacco to beat this Patriots team. You know, I'm not going to pick, I don't know, the Jets, the Broncos they just beat on the road. You know, the Steelers is a team I would pick. I wouldn't pick the Texans, not after that performance today. So I look around the AFC, the Steelers really are still the team that I look at and say, okay, I don't know how the Patriots match up against them because the Patriots went down to Pittsburgh and got their tails kicked. So, I don't know. I don't see my opinion changing on that one anytime soon. But against every other team in the AFC, sure. I think the Patriots can beat them after that performance today. 508-298-0398. That's the Ace Ticket Hotline. You can email us, webradio@patriots.com. That's where Brandon writes in. Adam, I believe I'm the only Ocho believer, and I'm glad he finally got that touchdown. I think he may get more playing time because he was starting to draw the double coverage. What do you think about him being a starter? Well, Brandon, I'll tell you. I think Deion Branch, that injury, got him in the starting lineup. We'll see. I mean, I don't expect the Patriots to run a lot more three wide receiver sets. I'd expect him to stay in that two tight end set, given the way Hernandez played today. We'll continue to get to Ocho over the course of the program here on the Patriots postgame show. We are live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. We'll go back to the phone calls and the emails. But want to go out to the guest line. Welcome in Patriots running back Danny Woodhead following the club's 41-23 victory over the Denver Broncos. And Danny, you guys wrapped up the division with that victory today. How's that feel?
You know, it feels great to get that win and know we're in the playoffs. But, you know, like we always say, you know, we got to get ready for our next game, and that's the most important thing.
What was the message from Belichick following the game?
Well, you know, obviously the team was happy. I mean, anytime that you can win a game and then AFC East Championship, It definitely makes you feel better. So we're excited about that.
Just watching the game on the field today looked a little more chippy, a little more emotional than usual. Were you guys a little extra tuned up given some of the coverage Denver got this week?
Oh, I don't know if it was necessarily that. I think we just wanted to go out and play well. That's the most important thing, is to play well so we can get a win. And we just tried to go out there and execute everything that, you know, the coaches had us do, and we tried to do it to the best of our abilities, and We came away with a win, so that's the most important thing.
What was the biggest difference after that first quarter?
I don't know. I mean, we definitely put some plays together and ended up, you know, scoring some touchdowns. The defense forced a turnover. That helped. We tried to play complementary football with, you know, offense, defense, special teams. So we got the win. That's really all that matters, and that's the biggest thing.
He's Patriots running back Danny Woodhead joining us here on the Patriots postgame show with Adam Jones. Danny, you got back in the end zone in this game for the first time all season. How did it feel to get back in there?
It felt good to get in the end zone, but I think more so because we scored points. Not necessarily for, you know, my glory or me scoring a touchdown. I was just happy that, you know, we could put another touchdown on the board, and that was the most important thing.
We've talked a lot about some of the end zone celebrations. Brady had a big spike today. You didn't have anything schemed up, though, for a celebration.
Oh, I was just happy. I was just happy we scored. I didn't really do anything, but having my teammates come over and congratulate me was just as good.
Now that you got a chance to see him up close, someone who had, you know, performed at a high level coming into this week, and your defense certainly limited him today. What did you think of Tim Tebow's performance?
well, he's obviously a great player. And, you know, that's what it comes down to. But, you know, I didn't have a ton of chances to really watch the game. When I was on the sideline, I was more so trying to get in tune with the rest of, you know, the offense, the coaches, and that's what we try to do is, you know, talk to each other and, you know, tell each other what we see. So I didn't get to see a lot of their offense.
Going into a difficult place to play against a red hot team, what does that win today say about your team?
I think more importantly, the win says that we're in the playoffs. I think that's the most important thing. You know, they're a great team. We just wanted to go out and execute and have more points than them, you know, at the end of the game, and we did that.
Finally, Danny, Andre Carter goes down with an injury, does not return to the game today. What did you see happen on that play?
Like I said, I'm on the sideline just talking with the offense, and I don't know. So I couldn't tell you.
All right, we'll leave it there. He is Patriots running back Danny Woodhead joining us here on the Patriots postgame show. Punch one into the end zone today, his first touchdown of the season as the Patriots take care of the Broncos 41-23. Danny, thanks so much for taking the time here on Patriots.com.
All right, thank you.
All right, Danny Woodhead joining us here on the Patriots postgame show. Did get into the end zone on that 10-yard draw play as the Patriots, their first second-half touchdown of the game. Certainly not very forthcoming are the Patriots with injuries, but we told you, out of all the goodwill that came out of this one, that Andre Carter injury, it certainly is a downer. If it's going to be, and it certainly looked that way, at least a season ender for Andre Carter, when you see somebody getting carted off the field at an advanced age when there really was no contact on the play, that certainly takes the wind out of your sails a little bit after a nice defensive performance for the Patriots over the final three quarters. We'll continue to hear from you on the phones, 508-298-0398. That's the Ace Ticket Hotline. You can hang out there. We'll also get to your emails to webradio@patriots.com. You just heard from Patriots running back Danny Woodhead here on the Patriots postgame show. You hear from Patriots head coach Bill Belichick next here on patriots.com.
Dear business traveler high in the sky, it's for important work that you do fly. But on JetBlue, we've made your job more fun with free DirecTV to play when your tasks are done. And with 40-plus nonstop straight from Boston, you won't have layovers to cities like Austin. Log on at JetBlue.com or call for an experience dedicated to you above all. My name is Luana, and I'm a JetBlue crew member.
And that was a dedication to you from JetBlue. Experience it firsthand by flying JetBlue for business. Book now at JetBlue.com/business. DirecTV service available on flights in 48 contiguous states only.
All right, guys. Ready for 2 weeks in the wild or what?
Absolutely. Yeah.
All right, then strap on those backpacks.
Hey, let me just check this text.
Oh, come on, man.
Oh, no.
What?
Not now.
What is it?
McRib is back.
What?
We're going to miss it.
This backpack just got really heavy, guys.
Everybody back in the car. We are going to McDonald's.
Yeah, good.
McRib is back for just $2.79. But that saucy pork goodness is here for a limited time.
What do you think? You guys want to do a golf trip instead, maybe?
That's kind of nature.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
The simple joy of big news. Price and participation may vary for a limited time.
Be an MVP this holiday season and give the Patriot fan on your list a gift from the Patriots Pro Shop. The Patriots Pro Shop and PatriotsProShop.com have the widest selection of authentic Patriots merchandise on the planet. Everything from jerseys and sweatshirts to hats, t-shirts, autographed memorabilia, and more. The Patriots Pro Shop at Gillette Stadium is open Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to 10 p.m. and Sunday from 9 a.m. to 8 p.m. or 24 hours a day, 7 days a week on PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop. If you were any closer, you'd be in the locker room.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you, from Boston sports to concert and theater. Whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS.
1-800-MY-SEATS.
Hey, Tom, what's on your holiday wish list?
Joy and happiness to all.
Oh, because I was thinking of giving you packaged coffee from Dunkin' Donuts.
Ooh, that's better.
Nothing beats Dunkin's packaged coffee. Right now, buy 3 pounds and get a fourth free. Only at Dunkin' Donuts restaurants. So give America's favorite coffee as a gift or stock up yourself. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Happy holidays, everyone! Glad you could make it to the house! Who's up for some Dunkin' coffee?
Yeah.
Grandma, let's start with you!
Hazelnut, please!
Cousin Mark?
Original blend!
Vanessa?
Your holidays are covered with Dunkin' Coffee. Buy it by the pound or try our new Dunkin' K-Cup packs. Only at Dunkin' stores. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary.
I love.
Love.
Love this card.
With my Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, I earn more cash back for the things I buy most.
Cash back for the things I buy every day.
I earn 1% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, every time.
2% on groceries.
And 3% on gas. Automatically, no hoops to jump through.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's 1% cash back on a cut and color.
2% back on food for the neighborhood barbecue.
And 3% cash back on getting the kids to soccer practice and football and baseball.
Extra cash back on groceries and gas. That's my kind of card.
Earn 1, 2, 3% cash back for the things you buy most with the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. Apply online or at a Bank of America near you. Quarterly maximum on grocery and gas bonus rewards. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Bank of America, the official bank of the New England Patriots.
Copyright 2011, Bank of America Corporation.
That is the metaphorical sound of you hitting your head against the wall in your search for the perfect brand new car. Let's chalk it up to the fact that you didn't know AutoTrader.com even had new cars. See, AutoTrader.com lets you compare new cars side by side, even special offers, so your head and heart can both get what they want. Say your heart wants a sporty 2011 coupe, but your head wants the best deal in town. Bingo! A never-been-owned-before coupe that your head and heart can both agree on. AutoTrader.com, now the ultimate new car marketplace.
Patriots take care of the Broncos, 41-23 in Denver, as the Patriots move to 11-3 on the season. At the moment, all alone atop the AFC, though we will see Baltimore in action tonight, Pittsburgh tomorrow. The Texans already lost a game, so we could wake up on Tuesday with the Patriots all alone atop the AFC. It is the Patriots post-game show with Adam Jones. We are live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. Here's how you get in touch. 508-298-0398. You can email us, webradio@patriots.com. A quick thought on Tim Tebow in the performance, because I've told you, I think the Patriots defense deserves all the credit in the world for this performance today. I think the team in general deserves all the credit in the world. I've been asking for them to beat a playoff opponent before I bought in on their chances of success in terms of winning a playoff game. And I think this one went a long way. They went into a tough place to play, a place where they've traditionally struggled. Brady had been 1-5. I'm sure you've heard that stat. Coming into Denver, the Patriots were something like 2-15 since the 60s in Denver, so not an easy place to play. And they hold Tim Tebow today to 11-24, 194. A lot of it came late. They gave up 93 yards to him on the ground. I got to tell you, I still think Tebow made some plays in that game for Denver. And look, the Patriots clearly are a better team than Denver, and they had a pretty good game plan for Tim Tebow, about as good as you're going to see. But I also think you saw that Tebow can be a quarterback in this league, and I think even the staunchest Patriots defenders have to at least admit that watching this performance today. He tried to make way too many plays, and he ended up killing him on some plays late. But look, the game was out of reach when he takes that whatever it was, 29-yard sack or whatever it was by Ninkovich. He's trying to make too much happen. But at the same time, I don't know, I watched that game and said, you know what, he made some legit throws. That 3rd-and-18 throw, maybe it was a defensive breakdown by the Patriots, but, you know, guess what? So was Ocho Cinco's touchdown. You know, the quarterback capitalized on it. In the case of Ocho Cinco, it was Brady. In the case of, you know, that Demaryius Thomas play on 3rd-and-18 for 39 yards, it was Tebow. So I give the Patriots defense all the credit in the world, especially because I think higher than Tebow of most. I mean, in other words, that's why I'm so impressed with this win. I mean, if you thought Tebow was a garbage quarterback, then you probably shouldn't be overly impressed by this victory. I think he's pretty good, and I think he showed some flashes in this game. Patriots certainly limited him. They forced some turnovers, including a fumble by Tebow himself, which Mark Anderson forced. But by and large, I thought you saw some plays made by Tim Tebow, not only with his feet, but more importantly, with his arm. 508-298-0398, that's the Ace Ticket Hotline. You can email us, webradio@patriots.com. I want to hit one email here before we get to the phones. Kevin writes in, "Hey, Adam, I've never really watched Tebow play. Denver fans have a lot to be excited about. He's a shifty guy that could become quite the problem for teams." And again, basically echoing what I just said, although I'd give him more credit than just with his feet. I thought Tebow made some throws in that game today. Kevin continues, "Great games from Brady, Hernandez, Ocho, Ridley." And Ridley is a player I have not mentioned yet. We'll get to him in a little bit, but I do think he showed some promising signs in this game for the first time, really, since the Oakland game. That's the first time you've really seen Stephen Ridley make an impact, so I thought that was promising. Kevin continues. The offense got it done, and we're a well-oiled machine. Defense, again, prove that they're going to surrender yardage, but they make plays, strip sack, and other fumbles. I wouldn't say that it's a good 50 minutes of football. Good win. They're playoff bound. Miami time? I think so. Happy holidays. And again, that's Kevin writing into webradio at patriots.com. And remember, Patriots clinched the division with that win today. I thought it was a pretty complete performance, especially for the last three quarters. They came out and got it handed to them in the first quarter. Maybe some of it was the McGahee injury. Maybe that was part of the success for the Patriots defense after that first quarter. But I'll tell you what, they buckled down after that, and it was a complete team performance for the Patriots today. So I agree with the emailer, Kevin. That is a good win today. And there was a lot more on my good list than there was on the bad. I was struggling for things on my bad list after that first quarter, and he's totally right. Brady, Hernandez, Ocho, only a touchdown catch, but still, when he didn't have one before, give him credit for it. Ridley had a nice game. You know, so I don't know. I thought there was a lot of good out of the Patriots in this one today, and I am buying in now as the Patriots being a team that can contend for the Super Bowl, and I wasn't doing that before this week. I think they're there with the Steelers, probably a notch below, but I'd give them a chance against anyone else in the AFC after that performance today. It is the Patriots postgame show. We'll hear from you on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Your emails go to webradio at patriots.com. Let's continue with your phone calls. Brandon's in California, and you're next up here with Adam Jones. Hey, Brandon.
Yeah, how's it going, man?
Doing well, man.
Well, speaking of your bad list, I believe a player that should be recognized for being horrible was White. If you've seen on, I believe it was like a 30-yard pass to the running back, he pretty much totally just gave up on the play. He didn't even try. He jogged through the ball, and it just looked bad on his part.
Tracy White, you're saying?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Brandon, for me, that's a tough one. That guy is a special teamer to me, and I don't know. I didn't think he showed up in a ton of bad spots. There were a couple of points where he chased Tebow down, and I remember on the broadcast they singled him out as a linebacker with some speed. That's why the Patriots had him in there. I didn't think he stuck out in a bad way at a lot of points, and even if he did, he's a guy being asked to do probably more than he's capable of. You know, that said, I don't know. I'm the same guy who had Matt Slater on my bad list for getting benched, and he's an offensive player playing defense, so I guess I can't have it both ways, Brandon.
Yeah, that's true. Well, that's it.
All right, man, thanks for the phone call, 508-298-0398. You can email us, webradio, at patriots.com. I saw this tweet in the break, and I meant to pass this along earlier. This is from Josina Anderson, who covered the game for ESPN, was on location. Breaking, agent Carl Poston just told me, looks like Andre Carter has a quad-related injury that will require surgery. And I'll tell you, quad-related is better than I would have thought. I mean, surgery is not a good thing. But if it's quad and not knee, and if that's the honest-to-goodness truth from the agent and not some spin, I'd take quad over knee any day of the week. That's
quad
muscle,
over
that's,
an ACL.
That's a muscle over a ligament. I would take that every day of the week.
That's not a career ender. That's how you got to look at it, really. ACL might be a career ender. Quad, he'll be back next year.
It might not even be a season ender. You know? I mean, if they make a deep enough playoff run. 508-298-0398. That's the Ace Ticket Hotline. You can email us, webradio at patriots.com. Again, that is part of the dark cloud hanging over this game for the Patriots. Is Andre Carter, you wonder how long he's going to be out, and it sounds like it's a quad injury, according to Josina Anderson of ESPN. Let's continue with your phone calls. Tim's in Pensacola, Florida, and you're next up here on Patriots.com. What's going on, Tim?
Hey, Pac-Man, how's it going with you?
Doing excellent, man.
Yeah, I was with a bunch of friends watching the Broncos game at the sports bar, and I don't think I'll ever Tebow again in mock, because when I did my drink on the table, I happened to hit it with my elbow and it spilled everywhere, and everyone was saying that's what you get. So,
you sure it wasn't a lightning bolt that came down and just shocked your glass?
I don't know, but after that, I was more humbled. Hey, Pac-Man, I actually have a question for you regarding our defense.
Sure.
Looking back at the past three games, I'm not blaming the defense. I think the defense did okay in this game, but just looking at it long-term this season, do you think in the offseason that we're going to need to do some serious work and try to really rebuild this defense, or do you think we just need to tweak it?
No, I mean, Tim, absolutely. And thanks for the phone call, 508-298-0398. I mean, look, especially on these shows, the post-game shows, I try to take a smaller picture view of, you know, snapshots of the games and certainly the season. But if you're talking big picture with this Patriots defense, yeah, there is a ton to overhaul. I'd feel okay about the defensive line. I'd feel okay about that. That back seven needs to be overhauled. And the scary thing is they've been trying to overhaul the secondary for years. I mean, look at some of the draft picks they've been putting there. You know, from Wheatley to Butler to McCourty to, you know, at safety, Chung. I just, you look at some of the young players and high draft picks that they've used in the secondary. Some have worked out, some haven't. I think that back seven needs a major overhaul. So if we're talking big picture, yes, of course. But we're in the here and now with this roster, and you're looking at the defense. I think the more pertinent question is, can they continue to win games? And I'm starting to buy into that, to tell you the truth. They got to stop when they needed to at the end of the Redskins game. Honestly, for most of that Colts game, they were pretty good. They were terrible in the fourth quarter. I didn't think it was cosmetic at that point, but a lot of you did, and it looks like maybe you're right. You know, you look at the last three games, and you're talking about three quarters, really shutting down that Colts offense, getting a stand when you needed to at the end of the Redskins game, and then outside of this first quarter, the Patriots played a pretty good game defensively, I thought. They were forcing turnovers, weren't giving up yards in bunches until that one drive by the Broncos at the end of the game when they're down three scores. I don't know. It's not perfect, but when on earth is this defense going to be perfect? You know, when on earth is this defense going to be considered with the Steelers and the Ravens? They're not. All I'm looking for is signs of improvement. And I think today, on the road against a playoff-caliber opponent, which I still feel the Broncos are, and look, I still think Tebow is, at the very least, a decent quarterback. And I think he has a chance to be a starter in this league for a long time. I know a lot of you don't feel that way. That was my stance going in, and if anything, it was reinforced today. He lost, but I think that was more of a commentary on the Patriots than on Tebow. So, yeah, these last 3 weeks, I think if you look at them in totality, there are reasons to buy in the short term. Long term, though, no, of course, they need to blow things up on defense. Major overhaul is necessary, especially in the back seven. 508-298-0398. That's the Ace Ticket Hotline. You can email us webradio@patriots.com. Let's go to Brian in Brighton. You're next up here on the Patriots postgame show. Hey, Brian.
Hey, Adam. How you doing?
Doing well, man.
That's good. That's good. I just wanted to follow up real quick on not Tim from Pensacola, but the previous caller's comment about Tracy White. You said he didn't stand out to you. Well, on that second play on the drive that you just mentioned, that long drive, it was two 30-plus yard plays. One Tebow actually threw in the air, which was impressive. The second one was really just a dump off, and the guy and I can't remember who it was on Denver, but he made some plays. But if you watch that replay, if you can get a chance, you got a DVR. Watch what happened there with Tracy White. He let up. He let up and let the guy go.
Yeah, I mean, I guess when I say he didn't stand out specifically, and that's the Lance Ball 32-yard touch, I mean, I just thought Ball made so many guys miss on that one run. It's hard to sit there and pin it on one guy.
Just watch that play again, and you just look. I had to go back and look because I didn't even know who it was that did it. But he let up. He kind of had him, and he let up, and next thing you know, the guy's taking it 30-plus yards.
Sure.
With that said, I wanted to say, for the good, did you by any chance put Ocho down in there?
So I had him on the short list, but honestly, when you have Hernandez and you had the way they played defensively in the second quarter, I didn't have him on the official list. But no, he got in the end zone today. He had a drop. He had a mix-up with Brady. But I didn't think he did enough to be on there for the good in total of the game, Brian. But it certainly was a promising performance from him as well. At least he got in the end zone.
One thing I noticed, though, that a lot of those plays, I would see Ocho throwing good blocks downfield.
No, it's true. And that was certainly the case. And, Brian, thanks for the phone call. 508-298-0398. They did a good job pointing this out on the broadcast early on. That 46-yard play to Hernandez on third down, and it was right before the Ocho touchdown. They did a nice job showing on the replay that Ocho was really in there laying out a block. So, no, he had a nice game blocking, certainly today. Got in the end zone. No, it was easily Ocho's best performance. I mean, that said, he still had one catch, and there were mix-ups with Brady and a drop. So, I don't know. I didn't think the totality of his performance was enough to throw him on the good list, but it certainly was a step in the right direction for Ocho Cinco, and there have been a lot of head-scratchers. He's been on the bad list quite a bit. So there was the temptation to put him on there. I just thought other guys played better. Mark Anderson in that second quarter defense, Hernandez, Brady. It's hard to throw him on that list when you have some of the performances the Patriots got today. But certainly, a promising day from Chad Ochocinco. Patriots do take care of the Broncos, 41-23. They move to 11-3 as we're talking about it and breaking it down here on the Patriots postgame show live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. We'll get back to your phone calls on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Your emails at webradio@patriots.com. But want to go to the podium where Bill Belichick spoke following his club's win over the Broncos.
That was a real good win for our football team. Give all the players all the credit. They did a real good job today, you know, against a good football team. You know, Coach Fox has done a great job with the Broncos, has them playing really well, and they were certainly, you know, a lot for us to handle. But give our guys credit. You know, we fought back, made plenty of plays to win in all three phases of the game, and just really proud of the way that they responded to, you know, to the challenge, stepped up and, you know, played good football today. So really happy about the win. And again, players, they did a great job this week.
Talk a bit about the second quarter when the defense stepped up, forcing several turnovers and kind of taking control.
Yeah, and it's always good to be able to, you know, get the ball out a couple times. And offensively, we were able to, capitalize on some opportunities. We had a good long drive there after Denver had scored a second time, and that gives us a chance to settle down a little bit on defense. And of course, getting the 3 points at the end of the half, that was good too. So, but you know, all the way around, I just thought we played, didn't get off to a great start, but our second series offensively wasn't. I mean, our first series was fine, the second series, but after that, we thought we really settled down. And other than a couple plays here and there, you know, we did a good solid job.
How would you rate Tom Brady, especially in the fourth quarter?
How would I rate him? We wanted to do a good job.
Just a good job.
Well, I mean, that's what the quarterback's job is, to help the team win. He did that.
You have a quick injury update?
No, just walked in off the field.
Feel pretty good to get a new hat and t-shirt today?
You know, that's one of our goals at the start of the season, is to meet the challenge of our division. And our players have done that. They've, you know, 6-2 on the road. So they've done a good job. They've met a lot of challenges, and this was a big one. But, you know, those guys did a great job today. All, you know, we got contributions from everybody. So, really, you give the whole team credit.
Well, is that kind of what you expected from Tim Tebow? Keep coming at you?
Oh, sure. Yeah, he does a heck of a job. And we know he can run. We know he can throw. Hurt us with some play action. But, you know, he's a good quarterback. He certainly gives plenty of problems. Hopefully we gave him some, too.
Sorry if you talked about this already, but if you talk about that last touchdown drive,
and
they had just come down and scored, the response from
the guests. Yeah, well, I mean, our offense, that was great on their part, you know, to get the ball and convert some key plays. Looked like there was a coverage miss there on Gronkowski. I mean, that was a big play. And then, you know, hitting Hernandez on a second and 15, second and 16, whatever it was. Getting the ball in there in the end zone on third down, you know, with the crowd and everybody really into it. We got good blocking there, a good run by Ben Jarvis. So, again, just give the players all the credit. They deserve it. They stopped them. They scored. They covered kicks. They did a great job.
How crucial was Hernandez today, especially in the absence of
Dion Branch? Again, they everybody stepped up. I mean, we got plays from our backs, from our tight ends, from our receivers, from our quarterback, from our offensive line. In a running game. So, it's all the way across the board. We got good contributions from all those guys. And I think that's why we won. So everybody did a good job. Team played well.
It'll look like you guys came up with a four-man line on defense when you switched to 3-4. Do you think that was effective switch?
It's not so much that as, you know, I mean, it changed our spacing. You know, so whether it's an odd spacing or even spacing, there's some advantages to each. So, we were in a little more odd space and try to keep better leverage on the formation. You know, they gave us a lot of shifting early in the game, a lot of shifting, motion, change formation. So, I think we were able to settle down for a combination of reasons, but one of it was kind of balance up the defense. I think that helped us a little bit.
Any idea about the severity of Carter's injury?
No, just walking off the field.
And seeing Mark Anderson play in his place.
Yeah, again, we got great contributions from everybody. Mark, Eric Moore, Ninkovich, Dane, Gary, Gerard, all the way across the board. Our defensive line, I mean, those guys played well. You know, they're out there, Vince, and, you know, Kyle, Gerard Warren, Dedrick, Bron Brace. They all played good. So we used a lot of people on defense, and they all stepped up and came through for us one time or another. I mean, you know, losing Carter, that was, you know, it was a big loss there in the second quarter. But, you know, we had guys step up and they contributed throughout the game.
What did the effort command you on the troops after the recovery fumble? It was a pretty good individual effort. But what did you see on that play?
Yeah, I don't know if I got a real good look at it. You probably saw better than I did, so. But, I mean, I know we got a good play out of, you know, our pass rushers. And again, he's, you know, Tim's a tough guy to get. So, you know, it's not easy with him. But, you know, we were able to get him a few times. We were able to throw him off rhythm a little bit. And then he got us a couple times, too. So, you know, he's a good football player. And that was a good battle. It's a good battle against our pass rush and his mobility back there and their offensive line. So we made a few. They made a few. Fortunately, we made enough to win. Yeah, they did. We hit our scoring opportunities, and that was good. Our coverage was good. I think we took advantage of a couple of their mistakes. You know, they mishandled a kickoff and cost them some field position. They mishandled a punt that gave us 3 points at the end of the half, and mishandled an extra point. So, you know, we were able to capitalize on those opportunities and take advantage of the ones that we had, too. So, yeah, special teams, those guys really worked hard this week. We knew it would be a big challenge with their specialists, their returners, their kickers, their physical coverage players. They got good gunners. So, you know, that was a big challenge for us this week. Denver's good in the kicking game, no question about it. They got good players in the kicking game.
So was there a thought to challenge on where Hernandez thought he caught the ball down on the 3-yard line in that third and goal in the second quarter?
No.
So can you talk about locking up Bam for 5 more years?
Yeah, it's great to have him. You know, he's our defensive captain. Has been since his second year in the league. He's a good football player. He's a good leader. He really takes a lot of pride in what he does and makes the players around him better. So, you know, it's great to have him with us for some more years. Okay, thank you.
That was Patriots head coach Bill Belichick following his club's 41-23 victory over the Denver Broncos. Again, Pats move to 11-3 with that win. Right now, for the time being, a win up on the Ravens, the Steelers, and also the Texans. Texans lost earlier today. Ravens about to get underway on Sunday Night Football. Steelers, of course, play tomorrow night. A couple of thoughts here before we get back to your phone calls. 508-298-0398. That's the Ace Ticket Hotline. Your emails go to webradio@patriots.com. Here on the Patriots Post Game Show with Adam Jones, we are live from our Subway Fresh Broadcast Studios inside Gillette Stadium. Real quick on the Jerod Mayo signing, and you just heard Belichick touch on it at the end of that press conference. Certainly didn't acknowledge the amount of years. He was asked directly about 5 years, and he said, yeah, it's good to have him here for some more years. He's a defensive captain, and he spoke in generalities. I will say, I think Jerod Mayo is and has been overrated as a playmaker here in New England. I think he's a tackling machine, but as a game changer, I think there's something lacking there. That said, he's probably still the second best player on the Patriots defense.
Kraft and Mayo go together.
After Vince Wilfork, absolutely, and they'll continue to go together for 5 more years. I give the Patriots credit for this because they took Logan Mankins to the wall. They took Vince Wilfork to the wall. They took Tom Brady to the wall. And in this case, they've stepped up and extended a player well before he was due, over a year before he was due. The last time they did that, Ty Warren, Dan Copen. That's a long time ago. Patriots did not take Jerod Mayo to the wall, and I think they deserve some credit for that because I've raked them over the coals when they've dragged it out with Brady, when they dragged it out with Wilfork, when they dragged it out with Mankins, and I thought they deserved it. This is a case where Jerod Mayo and the Patriots agree on an extension, and even though I think Mayo is a bit overrated as a player, you have to applaud the organization for the signing. I think that's good business to lock these guys up more than a year ahead of them becoming a free agent, especially when they've been as productive early in their career as Jerod Mayo, someone about to hit his prime. I don't know. I think you look around the roster and say maybe a year from now, we could be saying the same thing about the tight ends, Gronkowski and Hernandez, you know, as they approach free agency. Maybe they're the next guys on the Patriots' target. The other offshoot of that, obviously, is when are they going to pay Wes Welker? And they have the option of the franchise tag. Certainly Welker is an older player, so he doesn't fit into that same drafted, developed, young player mold as a Jerod Mayo, but that is sort of the other shoe to drop with the Jerod Mayo signing. On the one hand, you applaud the organization, and I think it's great that they got him over a year before free agency, but it does make you think, when's Wes Welker going to get his?
How do you think he felt waking up this morning?
Welker?
That? Yeah. You got to, I mean.
How do you think he felt about the Patriots ripping up Ocho's old deal and giving him an extension before he had even played it down here? I don't know. I mean, I think Welker has a lot of reasons to be at least frustrated. Maybe not upset, maybe not angry, but frustrated about his contract situation. I think he certainly could be, and I think he should be. It's the Patriots postgame show with Adam Jones. We are live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. We'll hear from you on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. You can email us, webradio at patriots.com. You're buying in to the Patriots as Super Bowl contenders. I'll tell you, outside of the Steelers, I don't see anybody else in the AFC that would scare me. Not the Ravens. You know, not the Broncos. You just took care of them. Not the Jets. You've beaten them twice. Not the Texans after that loss today. Whatever other team could potentially sneak in, I don't know, the Bengals or the Raiders or a team like that. No. It's really the Steelers, and then the rest of the AFC is wide open. And I think the Patriots, with that win today, have a leg up on all those other teams. And I'm not going to put them ahead of the Steelers. They got it handed to them in Pittsburgh. Game wasn't even close. But outside of that, yeah, I'm buying into this Patriots team, especially after that win today. A couple other thoughts, tying up some loose ends from Bill Belichick. A lot of times I think this is true coach speak from Belichick when he says, ah, it's a real good win, all three phases of the game. I buy into that after this one today.
And it is what it is.
Partially because of all of the singular hype around Tim Tebow, and I will raise my hand and say I am as guilty as anyone about that. We talked Tebow just about the entirety of our show, Monday through Friday, on ESPN Boston Radio over on ESPNBoston.com. So I'm not saying I'm not guilty of it, but you wonder if the Patriots bristled at it at all, and Belichick really emphasized team in his post-game press conference. I don't think that was by accident, and I think it was deserved. After the first quarter, the defense, I thought, played extremely well, forcing turnovers, limiting the yards until one cosmetic drive by Tebow at the end of the game in the fourth quarter, which brought the Broncos back to within 9, and then the Patriots offense came right back and answered the bell. So I don't think it was an accident, in other words. I don't think it was coach speak when Belichick was talking about a team win and a real strong team effort. I don't think that was coach speak. Also, you heard Belichick say this, and we didn't really get it from Woodhead, but you'll get it from the players. You'll hear from Brady in a little bit. You'll hear from Will Fork as well. They always want those T-shirt games, man. The games that Teddy Bruschi used to call the T-shirt games, where you clinch the division as the Patriots did today. And you heard Bill Belichick expound on that a little bit. No, Bill. No, he said, you know, he's happy to take home the division. That's one of their goals. That is the first goal that they've achieved. Win the division, get to the postseason. Obviously, next up is going to be winning a game and getting to a Super Bowl. But that first one crossed off the list now with that T-shirt victory today over the Denver Broncos. It wrapped up the AFC, so the Patriots win and the Jets getting it handed to them by the Philadelphia Eagles. Also something we'll get into later on in the program here on the Patriots post-game show with Adam Jones. We are live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. We'll hear from you on the phones, 508-298-0398. Your emails go to webradio at patriots.com. Look, Tom Brady had to deal with the Tebow hype all week. He was the second most hyped quarterback in this matchup. That doesn't happen often. You hear from Patriots quarterback Tom Brady next here on the Patriots postgame show.
Dear business traveler high in the sky, it's for important work that you do fly. But on JetBlue, we've made your job more fun with free DirecTV to play when your tasks are done. And with 40-plus nonstop straight from Boston, you won't have layovers to cities like Austin. Log on at JetBlue.com or call for an experience dedicated to you above all. My name is Luana, and I'm a JetBlue crew member.
And that was a dedication to you from JetBlue. Experience it firsthand by flying JetBlue for business. Book now at JetBlue.com/business. DirecTV service available on flights in 48 contiguous states only.
Screw you, bitch.
All right, guys. Ready for 2 weeks in the wild or what?
Absolutely. Yeah.
All right, then strap on those backpacks.
Hey, let me just check this text.
Oh, come on, man.
Oh, no.
What?
Not now.
What is it?
McRib is back.
What?
We're gonna miss it.
This backpack just got really heavy, guys.
Everybody back in the car. We are going to McDonald's.
Yeah, good.
McRib is back for just $2.79. But that saucy pork goodness is here for a limited time.
So what do you think? You guys want to do a golf trip instead, maybe?
That's kind of nature, isn't
it? Right? Yeah.
The simple joy of big news. Price and participation may vary for a limited time.
Be an MVP this holiday season and give the Patriot fan on your list a gift from the Patriots Pro Shop. The Patriots Pro Shop and PatriotsProShop.com have the widest selection of authentic Patriots merchandise on the planet. Everything from jerseys and sweatshirts to hats, t-shirts, autographed memorabilia, and more. The Patriots Pro Shop at Gillette Stadium is open Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to 10 p.m. and Sunday from 9 a.m. to 8 p.m. or 24 hours a day, 7 days a week on PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop. If you were any closer, you'd be in the locker room.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you. From Boston sports to concert and theater, whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS.
1-800-MY-SEATS. Hey, Tom, what's on your holiday wish list?
Joy and happiness to all.
Oh, because I was thinking of giving you packaged coffee from Dunkin' Donuts.
Ooh, that's better.
Nothing beats Dunkin's packaged coffee. Right now, buy 3 pounds and get a fourth free. Only at Dunkin' Donuts restaurants. So give America's favorite coffee as a gift or stock up yourself. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Happy holidays, everyone. Glad you could make it to the house. Who's up for some Dunkin' coffee? Yeah. Grandma, let's start with you.
Hazelnut, please.
Cousin Mark?
Original blend!
Vanessa?
Your holidays are covered with Dunkin' Coffee. Buy it by the pound or try our new Dunkin' K-Cup packs. Only at Dunkin' stores. America runs on Dunkin'. Price of participation may vary.
I love this card.
With my Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, I earn more cash back for the things I buy most.
Cash back for the things I buy every day.
I earn 1% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, every time.
2% on groceries.
And 3% on gas. Automatically, no hoops to jump through.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's 1% cash back on a cut and color.
2% back on food for the neighborhood barbecue.
And 3% cash back on getting the kids to soccer practice and football and baseball.
Extra cash back on groceries and gas. That's my kind of card.
Earn 1, 2, 3% cash back for the things you buy most with the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. Apply online or at a Bank of America near you. Quarterly maximum on grocery and gas bonus rewards. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Bank of America, the official bank of the New England Patriots.
Copyright 2011, Bank of America Corporation.
That is the metaphorical sound of you hitting your head against the wall in your search for the perfect brand new car. Let's chalk it up to the fact that you didn't know AutoTrader.com even had new cars. See, AutoTrader.com lets you compare new cars side by side, even special offers, so your head and heart can both get what they want. Say your heart wants a sporty 2011 coupe, but your head wants the best deal in town. Bingo! A never-been-owned-before coupe that your head and heart can both agree on. AutoTrader.com, now the ultimate new car marketplace.
This is the Patriots postgame show with Adam Jones, live from the Subway Fresh broadcast studio inside Gillette Stadium. Hit up Adam on the Ace Ticket hotline at 508-298-0398 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com.
Second hour of the Patriots postgame show here on patriots.com. I'm Adam Jones, live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. Tell you one thing that was blown out of the water, that Denver defense being a elite defense and a defense that really pressured the quarterback. I don't know. Did you see a lot of that in this game today? And credit the Patriots offensive line. I thought they were strong against Miller throughout. And there were a couple of plays by Doomerville. There were, including the first play of the game when the Patriots had the ball. Doomerville really pressured Brady on that first play of the game. And he also just blew Brady up early on in the fourth quarter, just blew him up. And then the Broncos responded with a touchdown drive, four plays, and the Tebow two-yard touchdown run, which made it 9 points. And you're sitting there going, well, okay, maybe this game has turned a little bit. But honestly, I didn't think the Broncos really got after the Patriots. They did a good job protecting Tom Brady. And throughout, Brady answered the bell. He was the second most popular quarterback in terms of talking points and talking heads like myself over the course of the week. He was the second
Everyone sucks
most
but me.
Talked about guy. Exactly, Tom. And you know what? He comes out with a big performance in this one. Tom Brady, 23 of 34, 320 yards, a pair of touchdowns, and also rushed one in. And I told you, I think that spike gave you a window into the team's psyche and their attitude this week. Brady's celebration, the elation after that touchdown. You know, maybe it was just good-natured. Maybe it was just mimicking Rob Gronkowski. Maybe they had some kind of agreement on the sidelines. Or maybe Brady just wanted to, you know, say, hey, Gronk, this is a spike. But I don't know. I think that gave you a window into the Patriots, their elation, and how they viewed this game, how they viewed the Denver Broncos and the coverage of Tim Tebow. Checking your emails to Web Radio. at Patriots.com. Hey, Adam, what's going on? Really happy for the Patriots' win today. They are now AFC champs. It's a great performance by the team. I was really upset at the beginning of the first quarter because the defense was awful, but Brady and the defense took care of business later, and I want to see this team in the postseason. Well, you're going to get to see the team in the postseason as they clinch the division today with that victory over the Denver Broncos. And again, the Jets didn't exactly hold up their end of the bargain, though they're still on the outside of the postseason looking in as we focus in on the Patriots, on the AFC playoff picture. Right now, Patriots are the one seed at 11-3. Ravens would be the two seed, given their head-to-head tiebreaker over the Steelers, though neither the Ravens or Steelers have played, or finished, I should say. Ravens actually leading the Chargers early on here on Sunday night. And then you have Houston as the three seed. They've won their division. And then Denver at 8-6. And you look at the West, it's a bit precarious out there. Chargers are playing now. They can get back to 500 with a win. Oakland, 7-7. They should have beaten the Detroit Lions. So we'll see if Denver hangs on. I still think they win that division, given the fact that they have Kansas City and Buffalo left. But look, Kansas City just got a big win over the Packers today, led by Romeo Crennel. I'm sure you've seen the photos by now of him getting dunked by Gatorade by his teammates, but it's another offshoot here on the Patriots postgame show. The Chiefs take care of the Packers. That means the Patriots will still be the only team outside of the 72 Dolphins to go through the regular season undefeated, though again, I'd be careful bringing that one up, given the way that season ended. But I get the sense that a lot of Patriots fans were rooting against the Packers, rooting for them to not get through a regular season undefeated. And thanks to Romeo Crennel and the Chiefs, they did not. But when you look down at the bottom of the AFC playoff picture, it's going to be the runner-up in the AFC North. So the Ravens or the Steelers are going to be the five seed. Whoever loses that, and they're probably going to be the second or third best team in the division in the conference. Right below them, it's a dogfight now between the Jets and the Bengals. And I'll tell you, Oakland had a chance to weasel their way in. Oakland had a chance to get into that playoff picture, and they didn't, given
Tennessee
that collapse
the choke
against the Lions.
Too.
Yeah, same thing. Good call. Tennessee losing to the Colts. They could be there with eight wins. So right now it's the Jets and also the Bengals sitting there at 8-6. And right now, given strength of schedule, the Jets actually get the nod over the Bengals at this point. 508-298-0398. You can email us, webradio at Patriots.com. We'll continue to look at the AFC playoff picture, specifically the division, when we go around the AFC East coming up in just a little bit. Dean writes into webradio at Patriots.com. Hey, Adam, did you hear Sims talking about Brady giving that ear cup to the Denver fans and posing for them before the game? Then with Elvis, Cream Brady, Brady looked like he hulked up like the Hulkster and got up and dropped the big leg on the Broncos. My question to you is, what you going to do, brother, when Brady mania runs wild on you? I'll tell you, man, and I've talked about this a little bit. We asked it to Woodhead, and I've said this a number of times, and I feel this way. Watching the team today, they were a little extra tuned up for this one. They were a little extra emotional. More pushing and shoving after plays. We saw it from Woodhead on a punt return where he just popped right up and got in the face of one of the defenders. Excuse me, that was Edelman, actually. Popped up and got in the face of a guy who hit him on special teams. I thought we saw the Patriots a little extra tuned up, and I agree with the emailer. We saw it from Brady specifically. So, again, I think that tells you that, look, the Patriots knew this is easily the most challenging opponent they've gone against in about a month. It's the most challenging opponent they were going to go against for the rest of the season. You know, the Dolphins are a pesky team, but the Patriots should take care of them at home. Then they finish with the Bills at the end of the year, and the Bills just continue to be abysmal. You know, circling down the drain are the Buffalo Bills at this point. So, this was easily, not even close, the toughest game remaining on the Patriots' schedule. And I've told you time and again, this is a statement win for me. This is a win that has me buying into the Patriots now winning a playoff game. And we are, what, 14 weeks into the regular season? And it's taken until now for me to buy in. I know I'm late to that party compared to a lot of you Patriots fans. But this is the win that has me buying into them now beating some of the riffraff in the AFC. And I wasn't doing that before. This was a win against a playoff-caliber opponent on the road. And they didn't totally shut down Tim Tebow, but certainly they did as good of a job as just about any defense has done against them. There was no late magic from Tebow, even when he tried to turn things around in the fourth quarter. The Patriots' offense, and maybe that's the big difference in that winning streak for the Broncos, is that there was no offense that could answer what Tebow was doing. And today, the Patriots did that, and I thought that was important for the Patriots and their 41-23 victory over the Broncos. We're breaking it down here on the Patriots postgame show live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. Here's how you get in touch, 508-298-0398. You can email us, webradio, at patriots.com. One more thought on Tim Tebow. And again, I'm curious to hear from Patriots fans your thoughts on Tebow, the quarterback, after we saw his performance tonight. Because I thought, A, he's not the reason the Broncos lost. I understand that's a hard position to take, given that when he wins, we give Tebow all the credit in the world. So certainly he's lumped in. He had a turnover in this one. He left some throws out on the field, absolutely. And I thought he tried to make too many plays with his feet in a negative way. He almost took a safety. You know, he had that terrible sack early on where he basically just ran into Anderson, I believe it was. So there were certainly some head-scratching plays by Tebow with his feet. I don't know. I thought if you were just watching his arm, I thought he made some throws. I thought he looked like he belonged as an NFL quarterback, and I think that's a key takeaway for this Patriots game. Because in other words, if you just think Tebow's a garbage quarterback, then you probably can't put as much stock or take as much out of this game as I do. You know, I think he's going to turn into a solid quarterback, and I think he's going to continue to improve with his accuracy. He made some legit throws in this game. He completed his first three. He had that big 3rd-and-18 conversion to Demaryius Thomas. I don't know. I thought he made some nice throws in this one. So I was happy to see the Patriots stop what I think is a pretty good quarterback in Tim Tebow. You know, they couldn't limit Rex Grossman. They couldn't limit Dan Orlovsky. And I thought those were bad quarterbacks. Today, they stepped up against someone who I think is a good quarterback, not just with his feet, but also with his arms. And I thought that was a key takeaway.
I think that play in the end zone where he almost took the safety from Dedrick and then somehow, you know, went back, got the ball, and threw it away. I think that play right there is an example why, although I might not believe he'll be a great quarterback, he can be a good quarterback in this league. The smarts in this kid are through the roof.
I'll tell you what. We did this, the comparison for him, and I did this early on in the week on ESPN Boston Radio, noon to 2 over on ESPNBoston.com every weekday. And we did this early on in the week, and I was saying, you know, Tebow has this quality that he just keeps winning games, and he gets, you know, he gets questions from the outside. People don't know how he does it. But, you know, Brady took the same kind of criticism his first year as a starter, his second year in the NFL. Roethlisberger did it as a rookie. And I said early on in the week, when you really go back and look at the numbers, it's not fair to compare Tebow to Brady in their first years as starters because Brady's numbers were much better than Tebow. And he was that traditional pocket passer, and we know the Patriots went on to win a Super Bowl. But when you go back and you look at the numbers, outside of the wins, there's really no comparison between Tebow's first year as a starter and Brady's first year as a starter. There's a heck of a lot of comparisons, though, between Tebow and Roethlisberger. And, Matt, what you just said, that play, keeping it alive in the end zone, avoiding a safety, that is that Roethlisberger-esque quality that Tebow has. He's not as accurate early on as Roethlisberger was, but I think he showed you he can make some of the throws, and I think that should be the type of player he should be modeling himself after, a bit more of a hybrid quarterback. Remember, Roethlisberger came in as a big guy, thought of as a roll-it-out guy or a run-first quarterback, and now he's a 4,000-yard passer who spreads you out. We've seen that Steelers offense evolve. I would not rule out Tebow having that kind of growth in the NFL.
I mean, you got to look at that play, though. Like I said, 9 out of 10 quarterbacks are going to jump on that ball and take the safety.
Kick it out of the back of the end zone,
yeah,
or something like that. Sure.
I mean, even I got to believe Tom Brady is going to kick that one out of the back of the end zone. That's a play that most people don't have the smarts to make. And if he can translate the mental into the physical, get a better passing motion, throw a little more accurately, you know, he has a chance to be a good quarterback. He sold me more tonight than I think at all this season.
And that's the only reason why I wanted to go off on the Tebow tangent. That's the most promising thing. If you think Tebow's just a garbage quarterback, then I don't see how your opinion of the defense can change at all. I happen to think he's pretty good, and that's part of the reason why I am so happy and buying in after this Patriots victory over the Broncos, 41-23. I'll tell you what I didn't need at all was, you know, seeing what Tim Tebow looks like right-handed on the CBS broadcast. You catch any of that, LePan, where they, like, compared Tebow's motion to Brady's motion and they flipped him around like he's a right-handed quarterback? And I'm sitting there going, the motion doesn't look anything like Tom Brady's motion. What are you talking about? They don't look alike at all. There's this big hitch in his windup, and I get they're trying to give him props as a passer and say he's coming along. He is never going to have a perfect throwing motion. I think that's overrated. I don't think Phillip Rivers has a perfect one. I don't think Ben Roethlisberger has a perfect one. And you know what? They are elite quarterbacks in the NFL. He's never going to throw it in the pocket like Tom Brady. So I didn't need that kind of garbage from CBS over the course of the broadcast. And look, as a Patriots fan, I'm sure some of the coverage from Sims and Nance in that game was a bit nauseating. I'm sure it was. You know, from them saying, oh, well, you know, this Tebow kid, they're going to work with him in the offseason. Garbage. John Elway must have been so fired up when that game was put out of reach. I tweeted this out during the broadcast. It's like, hey, you guys just hear that? I think Elway just popped a bottle of champagne. This is like exactly what he wants. He was feeling, he was loving life until the Lions came back and beat the Raiders. Before that point, John Elway was sitting there going, this is going to be taken care of for me. I don't even have to make this decision. They're going to lose games. We're going to lose the division. Don't have to worry about making the playoffs, and this thing will be out of my hands. I don't have to be the bad guy. Now he's still sitting there with his team in first place, which I know is tough for John Elway to take.
Notice how they didn't show him at all during this game?
They did at the tail end, and it was after, or it wasn't even quite the end of the game. It was after the Tebow run that brought him back within nine. They showed him, and Elway's sitting there kind of like, I don't feel great about this, but I'll kind of clap and kind of show my fans that I don't hate this quarterback, even though we know if he has his druthers, he's going to look another way. 508-298-0398. That's the Ace Ticket Hotline. You can email us, webradio@patriots.com. Adam Jones live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium here on the Patriots postgame show. Patriots do pick up that victory over the Denver Broncos, 41-23. They get 11 wins. They clinch the AFC. And I told you, I think this is a total statement win for the Patriots. That's why we went off on that Tebow tangent there, because I thought they beat a good team and beat a good quarterback. And I wasn't sure this team could do that. They hadn't done that in a while, at least for my purposes. I had seen enough of the Redskins. I had seen enough of the Colts. You know, I had seen enough of Tyler Palco and the Chiefs to say, all right, I don't really know what this Patriots defense is all about. And look, they're never going to be the 0-3-0-4 defense. They're never going to be a top 10 defense in this league. They're not going to be that. But have they made progress over the last 3 weeks? And did they finally beat a good quarterback today, a guy who was on a roll in a tough environment? They absolutely did. So that's why I'm buying into the Patriots after their win today in Denver, 41-23. A big performance from Tom Brady, the Patriots quarterback, who spoke with the media following the win.
Winning another AFC East.
Yeah, it was a good day for us. So very emotional game. You know, the place was really rocking early, and I thought we showed some mental toughness. We really fought for 60 minutes and really played good complimentary football. So it's what we needed. 11-3, got a big game this week.
What was it like, that first quarter, seeing what they were doing and then you stepping on that field and going right back at them? Did you feel like it was going to be one of those days? Or?
Well, we take it drive by drive. We try to take it play by play. I thought, we answered their first score. We didn't answer their second score, but we kept it close. And then once we got some turnovers from our defense, that really sparked us.
Tom, they've done a good job pressuring quarterbacks. How did you keep their passion strong?
Well, they had a few sacks, didn't they? Two or three. I mean, they got me pretty good on one. But they have two very good pass rushers on the outside. They have good blitz schemes. I thought for the most part the protection was very good and allows me time to find a good matchup and make a good throw.
I don't think he was grappled, but is that in your top 10 sacks that you've had over the years?
Yeah. I was looking at throw to Rob in the slot, who was one-on-one with DJ Williams, and didn't see Elvis coming, so he got me pretty good. But we really answered the next time we got the ball, which was important. And he's a very good player, Elvis and Von Miller. And we talked about those guys all week and how difficult they are to block like we did, and I thought our guys really hung in there.
Is that on the list? Is that up there?
Of hits? Oh, yeah. I mean, he got one of the best pass rushers in the league. It gets a clean shot. I mean, I didn't see him coming, so he got me pretty good. I'm sure I'll be feeling that one tomorrow morning.
You play with passion. We've seen you play with passion on TV, people here in Denver. But when you made that spike, it looked like a little extra emphatic. I don't know, with this whole Tebow mania thing, did you have a little more edge, chip on your shoulder to fire it up for today's game emotionally?
I don't get in the end zone very often, maybe once a season, so when I do, I think I get pretty excited. It's nice to score, so it's usually once a year for me.
Ain't nothing about the whole Tebow, the whole hype about the
Tebow? No, certainly not. And this is the Denver Bronco team, and I thought about the one thing we did a very good job of this week was focusing on our job and really what we had to do. And obviously Tim's had a great year. Their team has really, they're first place in their division. So, they've had a very good season also. And we knew it was going to be a 60-minute game. I thought, you know, we really played well for 60 minutes for the first time all season.
Tom, what do you think this team has developed for mental toughness when sort of things don't go right yet?
Well, we take our cue from our head coach. And I think he puts it on us every day in practice and the meetings and walkthroughs, and he has very high expectations for us. So, you know, sometimes when things don't go right, you got to persevere, and you just got to keep fighting, just keep fighting. And our team has really shown we can do that over the course of the season. We've been down early in the games. We were down in Philly. We were down here. We were down in the Raiders. We were down against Miami, and we found a way to really fight back. So.
How about a time
last question.
Did these players come that you knew that you had the toughness? Because you've had the same coach in past years, and that hasn't always been the case. Thinking back to 2009 when you struggled running on the road. And
sure.
What did you know with this group of guys?
Well, it's an ongoing process, and it's you gain confidence over the course of the season when you win games on the road. And, you know, we've proven we can do that. You know, we've proven we can come back in games. You know, even when we've lost, we've been in it to the very end. So. You know, we feel that we can compete with anybody, and certainly when we play well, we feel like, you know, we have a decent margin of error out there. And I thought, you know, we played well for 60 minutes today, and you know, anytime you win by 18 points on the road, it's a good day. So thank you. I'm going to head home, guys. I've got a long flight ahead. Thank you.
All right, that was Patriots quarterback Tom Brady at the podium. And look, he's in charge of when he takes his last question, as we've learned. Here on the Patriots postgame show over the course of the season, Patriots take care of the Broncos 41-23. They move to 11-3. We'll continue to hear from you on the A's Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Your emails go to webradio@patriots.com. I thought Brady said some interesting things there. And granted, it was much briefer than Bill Belichick. But I thought it was a good question by Reese, who asked it. And I think it's pretty clear that this is what Reese is going to ask about, just monitoring him on ESPNBoston.com. But he said, look, what do you think of the team's mental toughness? And Brady pointed this out. Look, we've been down early in games before. And the Patriots were down early in this one. You know, they were down 16-7. And he said, hey, we have this to draw on. We were down early in the Eagles game. And we've been in a tough environment, and we've rallied back. And I do think that's important, that they've been down in these games and have battled out of it. I think that's important that they know they've done it. Just from a confidence level standpoint, it's similar to what we were talking about all week with the Broncos. It's like if the game is tight at the end, they believe they can win. The Patriots, conversely, if they get down early in games on the road, they now have a couple of games. This one, the Eagles game, as Brady pointed out, that you can look at and say, yeah, okay, well, we're down by 10 points early, but so what? We've been in this kind of hole before. You can look around the huddle and say, we're capable of doing this. Now, maybe the hole would have been a bit more significant than 9 points if John Fox just would have sacked up and gone for it on 4th-and-1 with his team running all over the Patriots. I still don't get that decision from John Fox. That was ultimate. Just completely conservative call by John Fox. And I hated it at the time. And looking back, that was a major turning point in the game, LePan. That was 16-7, and his team didn't score again until they were down 34-16. So, I don't know. I thought that was a major turning point in the game. You had the Patriots on the ropes, and he settled for a field goal instead of going for it and taking those extra 4 points. And I understand it wouldn't have been a gimme to pick up that yard, but at that stage in the game, the way they were running on the Patriots, it's about as close as you can get. Now, I thought that was way too conservative of a play call from John Fox.
I mean, you got to look. Third down and 8, and Tim Tebow ran for 7. They had already run for 167 yards in the first quarter. I don't see how you don't go for it and make it 20-7 possibly. And at that point, you completely change what the Patriots are able to do.
Totally. I hated that play call. Hated it. Now, again, give the Patriots credit. They got the stop. They made the turnovers after that. I mean, give the Patriots the credit. I hated that play call from John Fox, and that's part of the reason why it was only a 9-point deficit, as you pointed out, not a 13-point deficit. Brady also touched on a couple other things. He called it a 60-minute effort, and I get what he means. Like, they finished strong. I think that's what he meant by a 60-minute effort, but my goodness. That you must not have seen the first quarter then, Tom, because that was an atrocity on defense. So I just think he chose the wrong word. I don't think it was a 60-minute performance from the Patriots. I think they finished strong, and that I agree with. They totally finished strong those last three quarters. And again, this is underrated to me. And a caller brought it up, and I hadn't necessarily thought about it in those terms, but it was a 34-23 game. Broncos were down 9. Tebow electrifies the building with a 2-yard touchdown run and that quick drive. And what do the Patriots do? They answer the bell, 9 plays, 80 yards. Green Ellis, 1-yard touchdown run. They eat up a bunch of clock. That was a big drive. That was a closing clock grinding drive from the Patriots. I thought that was an important drive for them. And one other thing to touch on from Brady, you heard him talk about getting sandwiched by Doomerville. That was a hit and a half. That's one that, you know, Solder and Cannon kind of rotated a bit at right tackle, and it was really when Solder's the third tight end, Cannon goes to that right tackle spot. But Solder did not get Doomerville at all on that play, and he almost got his quarterback killed. And you heard Brady
bam, I got it.
Answer a couple of questions on that. I'm sure that's how Belichick reacted on the sideline when he saw that hit from Doomerville. 508-298-0398. That's the Ace Ticket Hotline. You can email us webradio@patriots.com. That's where Mike in North Carolina writes in. Adam, just a quick question to all the Patriots fairweather fans out there, and it's simple. Told you so. Did they finally win the way they were supposed to this time? And look, I get where Mike's coming from. Like, the Patriots have now won 6 games in a row, and after each and every one, people like me, although I didn't do it after the Redskins game, but hosts like me come in after the Colts game, let's say, as an example, or the Eagles game, as an example, and go, yeah, well, they won, and they were convincing and all that, but look who it came against. It was against Vince Young or Tyler Palko or Dan Orlovsky. And look, hosts like me come in and do it. I'm as guilty as anyone about this. Again, I did not do it after the Redskins game, and I heard a lot of that. I did not do it after the Redskins game. But by and large, I've been doing that. Mike is totally right. Look, did they finally win the way they were supposed to now? It's 6 in a row. When are people going to start buying in? I've been promising. If they won convincingly in Denver, if they limited Tim Tebow, I would buy in. They did both of those things today, and guess what? I'm finally, maybe I'm late to the party, but I'm finally buying in. 508-298-0398. That's the Ace Ticket Hotline. You can email us webradio@patriots.com. It is the Patriots postgame show with Adam Jones. We are live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. Patriots clinch the AFC East with a 41-23 victory over the Denver Broncos. We'll take a look at the division as we go around the AFC East next on the Patriots postgame show.
Dear business traveler high in the sky, it's for important work that you do fly. But on JetBlue, we've made your job more fun with free DirecTV to play when your tasks are done. And with 40-plus nonstop straight from Boston, you won't have layovers to cities like Austin. Log on at JetBlue.com or call for an experience dedicated to you above all. My name is Luana, and I'm a JetBlue crew member.
And that was a dedication to you from JetBlue. Experience it firsthand by flying JetBlue for business. Book now at JetBlue.com/business. DirecTV service available on flights in 48 contiguous states only.
Screw you, bitch.
All right, guys. Ready for 2 weeks in the wild or what?
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right, then strap on those backpacks.
Hey, let me just check this text.
Oh, come on, man.
Oh, no.
What?
Not now.
What is it?
McRib is back.
What?
We're gonna miss it.
This backpack just got really heavy, guys.
Everybody back in the car. We are going to McDonald's.
Yeah, good.
McRib is back for just $2.79. But that saucy pork goodness is here for a limited time.
What do you think? You guys want to do a golf trip instead, maybe?
That's kind of nature-y,
right? Yeah.
The simple joy of big news. Price and participation may vary for a limited time.
Be an MVP this holiday season and give the Patriot fan on your list a gift from the Patriots Pro Shop. The Patriots Pro Shop and PatriotsProShop.com have the widest selection of authentic Patriots merchandise on the planet. Everything from jerseys and sweatshirts to hats, t-shirts, autographed memorabilia, and more. The Patriots Pro Shop at Gillette Stadium is open Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to 10 p.m. and Sunday from 9 a.m. to 8 p.m. or 24 hours a day, 7 days a week on PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop. If you were any closer, you'd be in the locker room.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you. From Boston sports to concert and theater, whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS.
1-800-MY-SEATS.
Hey, Tom, what's on your holiday wish list?
Joy and happiness to all.
Oh, because I was thinking of giving you packaged coffee from Dunkin' Donuts.
Ooh, that's better.
Nothing beats Dunkin's packaged coffee. Right now, buy 3 pounds and get a fourth free. Only at Dunkin' Donuts restaurants. So give America's favorite coffee as a gift or stock up yourself. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Happy holidays, everyone! Glad you could make it to the house! Who's up for some Dunkin' coffee?
Yeah.
Grandma, let's start with you!
Hazelnut, please!
Cousin Mark?
Original blend!
Vanessa?
Your holidays are covered with Dunkin' coffee. Buy it by the pound or try our new Dunkin' K-Cup packs. Only at Dunkin' stores. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary.
I
love.
Love.
Love this card.
With my Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, I earn more cash back for the things I buy most.
Cash back for the things I buy every day.
I earn 1% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, every time.
2% on groceries.
And 3% on gas. Automatically, no hoops to jump through.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's 1% cash back on a cut and color.
2% back on food for the neighborhood barbecue.
And 3% cash back on getting the kids to soccer practice. And football. And baseball.
Extra cash back on groceries and gas. That's my kind of card.
Earn 1, 2, 3% cash back for the things you buy most with the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. Apply online or at a Bank of America near you. Quarterly maximum on grocery and gas bonus rewards. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Bank of America, the official bank of the New England Patriots.
Copyright 2011, Bank of America Corporation.
That is the metaphorical sound of you hitting your head against the wall in your search for the perfect brand new car. Let's chalk it up to the fact that you didn't know AutoTrader.com even had new cars. See, AutoTrader.com lets you compare new cars side by side, even special offers, so your head and heart can both get what they want. Say your heart wants a sporty 2011 coupe, but your head wants the best deal in town. Bingo! A never-been-owned-before coupe that your head and heart can both agree on. AutoTrader.com, now the ultimate new car marketplace.
Welcome back to the Patriots Postgame Show, live from the Subway Fresh Broadcast Studios inside Gillette Stadium. Have an opinion on today's game? Call the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com. Now, live from the Subway Fresh Broadcast Studios, here's your host, Adam Jones.
Wrapping things up here on the Patriots postgame show, Adam Jones live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. You can give us a call on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. You can email us, webradio@patriots.com. We'll go around the AFC East in just a little bit as the Patriots did clinch the division earlier tonight with their 41-23 victory over the Denver Broncos. We've given you that AFC playoff picture. We'll take a look at the Jets. Are their chances still alive in the division? Or at least in terms of the postseason. We'll get to that coming up here in just a little bit. Just a recap on the program. Real strong performances in this one by a number of players. I thought Hernandez topped the list along with the Patriots defense in the second quarter, turning things around. But Hernandez was so big, stepping up in that voided Deion Branch role. And I think a lot of people will say, oh, well, Ocho got a touchdown. I thought it was a nice, solid performance by Ocho. As a caller pointed out, he was blocking in this one. He got in the end zone. But really, this was Aaron Hernandez stepping up and replacing Deion Branch this week and being that third receiving option after Welker, after Gronkowski. So I thought it was a big performance from him in a career game. 9 catches, over 120 yards, also had that 16-yard rush, which was on a third down. It was just a big overall play or overall performance from Aaron Hernandez. I told you, I thought that defense was great in the second quarter. That's what turned the game, and I think that's so promising for this Patriots defense to look. It's not ideal how they came out and let the Broncos run all over them. But after the first quarter, they buckled down. And in the second quarter, it was the defense that turned the game, gave the offense short fields, and the offense capitalized on those short fields and really stretched out and separated the game. And Tom Brady has to be on that list as well with his immense performance, especially given the coverage of Tim Tebow all week. And there were other guys. I thought Ocho had a nice game, as I said. I thought Ridley had his best performance in a while for the Patriots. I mean, I would say easily since that week 4 performance when he broke out against the Raiders, 65 yards on 11 carries in this one today for Ridley. Woodhead, who we talked to earlier on the show, got in the end zone for the first time all season, was a difference maker running the football, also had a 12-yard catch. It's like, okay, it was a real strong performance up and down the entire roster. Mark Anderson and Ron Brace, when they came in for Andre Carter, each forced fumbles. Anderson tacked on 2 sacks after that in the game. But the other shoe to drop with those strong performances from those two guys was that you're without Andre Carter now, potentially for the foreseeable future. And wanted to reiterate that. Josina Anderson tweeted it out earlier that Carter's agent, Carl Poston, came out and said, look, it's a quad injury to Carter. He's going to need surgery. Now, what does that mean for a time frame? I don't know, but I'll tell you, I think it's a lot better than ACL, MCL knee injury. I think it's a lot better than ligament injury to Andre Carter. So that's sort of catching you up to speed on where we're at following the Patriots' victory over the Denver Broncos, 41-23 in Denver. Patriots move to 11-3. Right now, the only team with 11 wins in the AFC as of about 9 o'clock here on Sunday night, Eastern Standard Time. We will go around the division coming up in just a little bit, but you've heard from Belichick, you've heard from Brady, you also heard from Danny Woodhead, who joined us live on the podium on the program earlier today. Let's go to the podium where Vince Wilfork spoke with the media following his club's victory over the Broncos.
Hat and a t-shirt day. I'm sure it never gets old for you guys.
Never gets old. I mean, you work so hard a whole year, you know, to get to just one of the steps, and this is one of them, you know, and to come out, you know, division champs, that's awesome. You know, we had a lot of games that, you know, we had to fight and battle our tails off, but guys never gave up. You know, we never give up. So we're going to continue to do that. The more we fight, you know, the better this team gets. And I think it can do us some good justice to continue fighting. You know, the day was we executed our game plan, you know, and we knew they was going to come out fighting. We knew they was going to come out, you know, fast and explosive. And our main goal was to weather the storm, you know. We know going into this game that we was going to have to make some adjustments on the sideline from what they give us. And that's exactly what happened. You know, the whole first quarter, it was like, you know, sideline adjustments. And, you know, like the first quarter, we kind of buckled down, settled in, and had to start playing some good football. And when we really needed it in the fourth quarter, we take a lot of pride in doing our homework in the fourth quarter. So that was kind of like a gift for us, you know, being that Tebow loves and his team like to come back in games in the fourth quarter. But that's one of the things that we always do, and we've been doing it for a long time around here, is just studying the fourth quarter and just getting tendencies of what guys would got to do when they're behind or they're ahead. And it felt right in our place. So our main goal was to get to the fourth quarter and fourth quarter execute, which we did.
Or think about the talk, all the talk nationally, especially was all Tebow all the time this week.
No, I mean, we didn't. We approached this game just like any other. You know, we've seen, you know, some quarterbacks, pretty decent quarterbacks, you know, but, you know, Tebow do things that most quarterbacks don't do. But, you know, it's National Football League. Just like Bill said, you know, it's going to be a point in the game where, you know, we'll have to make sideline adjustments, which we did. First quarter, we had to come to the sideline and make those adjustments. Once we made those adjustments, you know, we had the turnovers. We knew, you know, going in this game that was going to be a critical part. No, he didn't turn the ball over a lot, but we've seen a lot of opportunities out there, which we took advantage of. And we knew going into the game that we was going to have those opportunities. So we took advantage of them, and, you know, we started gelling. You know, once everybody settled in and we saw how they wanted to play the game, we knew how we wanted to adjust to it. Once we made those adjustments, you know, the outcome speaks for itself.
Vince, you got a lot of those hats now. It doesn't get old putting them on, does it?
Never gets old. So keep it coming. You know, this just, you know, one step of many more to come, hopefully.
When you talk about the opportunities that you saw in film to create turnovers, does that have to do with the option game that they run, or with other things?
The whole offense. You know, just seeing certain guys carry the ball, you know, just knowing, you know, when we can actually get the ball out, you know, when people are vulnerable with the ball in their hands. You know, just when you're dealing with a quarterback like this, you know, the ball is always in his hand and he always going to make plays. So when you get guys like that, you know, you always have an opportunity to get the ball out. You know, with a guy that always carry the ball in. Amount of times they run the ball. We know we had a chance of hitting the ball off guys and everything. So, you know, we just took advantage of it. We took advantage of it, and it worked out of our advantage. And just like I said, we went into this game knowing that we was going to have an opportunity. We went in this game knowing that we was going to have to come to the sideline and make adjustments until we figure out how we want to attack. It's like a heavyweight bout. You know, you go in the game and see how your opponent, you know, want to fight you. And then, you know what, your trainer tell you, okay, we got the game plan figured out. This is like what he's doing. Now it's time to attack. So once we knew it was time for us to attack, we attacked. And fourth quarter, we really hammered it down in the fourth quarter. And I'm very, very proud of these guys because we work hard on that stuff.
Specifically about the adjustments without giving up any.
Yeah, I mean, it's just different fronts that we were in. different force rules that we had. Being able to get out the force, just seeing how they wanted to block some of the schemes that we had. And you know, we threw some things out and we put some things in. So good thing is that we practiced everything that we put in. So it wasn't a big adjustment for us. You know, it was basically come to the sideline, hey, they're blocking like this, they're doing this, we're going to attack this one. And everybody got it. You know, so that's where you see, you know, from the second quarter on, we basically defensively really turned the game around defensively. And you know, our offense took advantage of our turnovers and they scored the points that, you know, our offense didn't score. So that's what it did. It's all about teams. Special teams came up huge, big plays in the kicking game, coverage game. So it's a team. It's a team, you know, and never gets old. You know, you keep fighting. No matter how bad it looked, you know, I think we gave up 100 our first quarter. I mean, a lot of guys probably was like, oh, it's going to be a long day for them. I'm pretty sure a lot of guys said that. But we knew, you know, we had to weather the storm. I mean, they had the number one team running the ball. And it's the reason. They had three backs that could run the ball. So we just know we had to settle down and, you know, make our adjustments. And then when it's time to attack, we attack, which we did.
Vince, how emotional was it to see Andre Carter get carted off the field? And what did you say to each other, and how nice was it to see guys step up in his absence?
That's tough. I mean, because Andre put so much in it, his leadership alone, he gives a lot to this team, not just the defense. And that's a guy that's in the meeting rooms with me all the time. We always talk about, you know, schemes and football. So to see him go down and just to know how hard he worked, you know, that's tough. Especially anytime someone goes down, it's tough. You know, but see a guy like that, you know, been playing the game for a long time and haven't really won much in his career. And now he's winning, he's happy, he's having fun, he's playing well. And to see him go down, they take a blow out you. You know, but at the same time, we know we had to step up for him. You know, and that's what he said. You know, came in at halftime, he said, guys, don't worry about me, I'll be okay. You know, you guys just, you know, continue to play good football and get this W for me. So, which we did. And I'm pretty sure he's proud of us. But at the same time, it's a big blow for us. Because that guy's been playing some really, really good football for us. And we're definitely going to miss his presence out there on the field, you know, however long he had. But it's a tough loss for us.
Vince, what did switching to the
Q4 specifically and stopping them? Just attacking us differently. We seen, you know, certain ways that they wanted to attack us in the fronts that we showed. We really didn't like the fronts we was in, how they was able to gain an advantage on it. So once we pulled out our 3-4, I think we kind of settled down and a lot of stuff started coming to us. And it was like there was on. Now they tried to figure out how to attack our 3-4. But it's one of those games, you know. One of those games that, we had to make sideline adjustments. We knew that coming into the game. All week we talked about it. We don't know what they're going to give us. But we prepared well, put a lot into it. But when we made the adjustments, everybody was on board with it, and we knew exactly what we was doing. So that first quarter really was kind of a testing, you know, seeing how they wanted to attack us and going to the sideline, making adjustments, and actually going to attack mode after then. Because once we knew how they wanted to attack us, it was all fair game now. So we put our stuff in that we thought we was going to have a big advantage in and just see what they did. So and that's what it boiled down to.
Tebow?
Yeah, I Tebow. Absolutely. You kidding me? Absolutely.
Is there something that went into that or you just kind of said?
Nah, no. I mean, trust me. Everybody in the world was hearing about this guy. I mean, and he's a very, very good athlete. I mean, I said it last week, he's a winner. If you look at, you know, his whole resume, the guy knew how to win. He knew how to win. So anytime you speak to a team or little kids, whatever, about winning, I'm pretty sure his name's gonna come up. You know, so however he do it, he do it. Yeah. So it's one of those things where, you know, it's part of the game. I'm pretty sure I won't be the last one, and I wasn't the first one. So, you know, that's what he does. You know, he put it out there. So, hey, I want to steal it. I don't think he'll mind. Just one play.
Is there an element of all that hype around him, Vince, that you guys come in, a lot of guys have had a lot of success in the state, you'd like to be able to come in and make the stations, and you've played a lot of good games.
I mean, like I said, we approach this game like any other game to win. Prepare well. We knew it was a possibility that we can get anything from this offense. So we prepared well. You know, a lot of hours put into it, a lot of practice, a lot of film, a lot of walkthroughs, you know, a lot of practice. A lot of stuff went into this game. So we knew we had to make adjustments. We knew that was going to be part of the game, which we did after the first quarter, and, you know, we moved on from there. So, like I said, it's, you know, you prepare well, and hopefully it shows on Sundays. And our main thing was, you know, the fourth quarter, you know, got to have the situations. You know, you always want to, you know what your team is doing. Because for 55 minutes or for 50 minutes, you can play good football. You know, but those last 10 minutes, last 5 minutes, if you can't play good football in those minutes, it really doesn't matter what you've done the rest of the game. So, and we've seen where they took advantage of situations like that. But we take pride in what we do in the fourth quarter. I mean, you know, sometimes it's good, but sometimes it's not. But that's something we really, you know, we actually get down and dirty when you gotta have it, when a team is, you know, up or down, you know, the situation in the football. We really take pride in that. So, and it came up big for us today. So, going to the fourth quarter, we knew exactly what to expect. It wasn't a shock to none of us, offensive, defensive, special team. Wasn't a shock to none of us because we prepared and we knew. And that's what good football seems to. You know, you have to, can't leave no stone unturned. And we didn't. And we're going to have to continue to do that from here on out. You know, if we want to be successful, we're going to continue to do that. So, great start coming to Denver and getting a win. I haven't won much here, I tell you that. Not me, but it's a tough place to play in. I mean, great fans, atmosphere. I mean, this is football city. I mean, this is, they live for this team. So it's good to come on the road to get a W and go back home, and especially get a W and receive your hat and T-shirt. That's even bigger. It makes the plane ride home a lot smoother.
All right, that was Patriots defensive lineman Vince Wilfork following his club's 41-23 victory on the road in Denver over the Broncos. Patriots moved to 11-3 with the win, and you heard from Vince Wilfork and a number of other guys in that locker room. It's great to get the hat and T-shirt. ESPNBoston.com and their Patriots blog has a link to a few of the photos. Rob Ninkovich, Jerod Mayo, Vince Wilfork with their T-shirts, their hats on. These T-shirt and hat games, and they were dubbed so by Teddy Bruschi, these are big for the team. That, I'm sure, was a message in that locker room throughout the week. Hey, let's not mess around here. Win the game. Get it over with. Get your hat and T-shirt. As Belichick said, get that first goal out of the way. That's our first goal every year. Win the division is what you heard Belichick said. You know, you also heard Belichick say it's great to get a win on the road. Wilfork echoed that. Patriots are 6-2 on the road. It's pretty good. Especially when you consider, you know, the losses are in at least one hostile environment. On the road against the Steelers, and then you also had that game in Buffalo against a team that was playing well at the time, and that's not an easy place to play either. So those are their two losses on the road. Other than that, they've been good at home. Also, a few other things from Vince Wilfork. You heard him joking about, oh yeah, Tebowing, and I Tebowed out there, but you heard. By and large, Patriots aren't taking pot shots at Tim Tebow out of this one, and I think that speaks to the level of respect that Belichick has for the player, Tim Tebow, his former coach, Urban Meyer, just the program that he came from, what he stands for, all those things. If Belichick didn't respect him as a player or respect that organization, I think you'd hear a little bit more of the pot shots at Tebow this week. But I'm pretty sure Belichick was clear with his players after the fact. Hey, guys, don't take any shots at this guy. Don't take any shots at the team. They're a good football team. He's a good quarterback. I think you see some of that echoed in Vince Wilfork's comments.
You know, it's interesting to think. I didn't really think about it until you just said it. Do you think that Bill might have given old friend Urban Meyer a call and said, hey,
so
how do you stop this kid?
So we talked about this on the show during the week on ESPN Boston Radio because you have Burt Breer on, and he said, well, I wouldn't be surprised if he reached out to Nick Saban at Alabama and said, oh, well, you know, you've had the game plan for Tebow, and we kind of expanded on that and said, gee, I wonder if he reached out to Urban Meyer, who didn't have to game plan for him per se, but knows him. I'm sure Belichick reached out to all of his connections in college football, be it Saban, be it Urban Meyer. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if that were the case at all. And maybe that helped. Again, I didn't think Tebow's the reason they lost. He didn't have his best game. He certainly could have done more to help him win when they were going, you know, three and out, turnover, fumble. I mean, he could have done more to help them win. I'm not trying to absolve him of the blame because certainly he's gotten so much credit when they've won. He deserves blame in the loss, and he does deserve blame. I didn't think he had a bad game by any means is my only point there. And I think Belichick respects him, respects the organization. I think you heard that echoed in Vince Wilfork's comments. Also, I thought you heard from Wilfork, you know, just talking about the mood on the sidelines when you lost Andre Carter. And I thought that was important. We tried to get it out of Woodhead. He didn't bite. You know, Wilfork was asked about the mood on the sidelines when he went down, and Wilfork said it's tough. It's a big blow. And again, if you're just tuning into the Patriots postgame show, Josina Anderson says it sounds like a quad injury. She spoke with his agent. It sounds like a quad injury, which I think is dodging a bullet. I think that's a lot better than a knee injury. Maybe it's still going to be a season-ending injury, but for his career, for coming back, I think it's a lot easier to do that at Andre Carter's age, a quad injury, even if it requires surgery, as the initial reports indicate. It's a lot easier to come back from that than it would be an ACL injury or a significant ligament damage to his knee. I think it's a lot easier to come back from that. Checking the emails to webradio@patriots.com. That's where Mike writes in. Adam, completely agree. For me, this is the first satisfying win since the Jets game. That's true. Jets game came after the Cowboys game. I was citing the Cowboys game. Totally. That game in New York, end-to-end win. Dominated the Jets. Mike's right. Granted, the first quarter was a nightmare, but the fact that the team weathered the storm, took control in the second quarter, and stopped the Broncos those last two drives instead of garbage touchdowns makes this game a highlight of the season so far. It's a good point by Mike. They didn't give up garbage cosmetic touchdowns to Tebow like they did in the Colts game. They gave up one, but it's going to happen. You know, you've sat back a little bit defensively. Tebow got a touchdown. The offense answered back, and then the defense buckled down. It's a good point by Mike. He continues to webradio@patriots.com. This team has proven again that they come from behind on the road, something the 2009 Pats could never do. They may not make the Super Bowl, but they will not be an easy out for anyone, even if they go on the road to Baltimore. And then Mike writes, P.S., any idea what the Pats' record is in divisional championship clinching games in the Belichick-Brady era? I can't remember the last time they lost a potential division hat and t-shirt game. Well, I don't know if they lost the game per se, but in 08 they didn't win the division. So I think you'd probably have to go back to that point. 09, I wonder how quickly they clinched things. And I guess we'd have to go back and look at that. I don't know their overall record, but I would imagine that in general they have a pretty stellar record in these hat and t-shirt games. And again, Patriots do clinch the division with that victory today over the Denver Broncos, 41-23. They move to 11-3 on the season. As of right now, the only team in the AFC with 11 wins. The Texans fell earlier today. As it stands right now, the Chargers leading the Baltimore Ravens 10-7. Still early. Still 2.5 quarters left in that one. But certainly monitor that, and we'll be monitoring the Steelers tomorrow night, who could be without Ben Roethlisberger on Monday Night Football against the San Francisco 49ers. Those are games that affect the Patriots and their race in the conference, trying to lock down that top seed. We mentioned the Patriots locked down the division with that victory over the Broncos today. We take a look at the rest of the division in a segment we like to call Around the AFC East.
It's time to go around the AFC East on the Patriots postgame show with Adam Jones. Get the latest news and information on the Bills, Dolphins, and Jets. Adam Jones has the latest divisional scores and standings from around the AFC East.
Tell you what, it was a rough day for the Jets, who fall to 8-6, getting blown out in Philadelphia, 45-19. And they were down early on, 28-0. LeSean McCoy breaking records in this one, 19 touchdowns on the season. That's an Eagles record, as are the 16 rushing touchdowns he has on the season. Another big day for Michael Vick. Second game he's back, 15-22, 274, and a touchdown as they manhandle the Jets. And the storyline in New York is Mark Sanchez healthy. He left that game with a neck injury, experienced some numbness in his throwing hand. Mark Brunell finished the game for the Jets. It sounds like it was a precaution, which is why they took Mark Sanchez out, but certainly it's a question whether Sanchez will play next week against the New York Giants at 1 o'clock. The other two teams in the AFC East are teams going in opposite directions, and they played each other today up in Buffalo, where the Dolphins took care of the Bills 30-23. And honestly, game wasn't even as close as it indicates. 30-23, Dolphins beat the Bills. Both teams now are at 5-9, though Buffalo has dropped 7 in a row. Reggie Bush with a career-high 203 yards in this one. A 76-yard touchdown capped it for the Dolphins, who again, playing pesky. Even though they've fired their coach, Tony Sperano, they continue to play hard at the end of the season. I was high on the Broncos coming into the year. Excuse me, the Dolphins coming into the year. This is the reason why. I thought they had talent. They started too late. It'll be an interesting matchup next week against the Patriots. I certainly think the Pats will take care of them. But it'll be much more interesting than the Week 17 game against the Buffalo Bills, who now play the Denver Broncos next week in a game that I'll certainly be picking the Broncos in. And you wonder if Buffalo's going to lose out to finish the season. They could be on an 8-game losing streak when they meet up against the Patriots in Week 17. But certainly for me, the most difficult hurdle left on the Patriots' schedule, they cleared it today. And not only did they clear it, but they cleared it in convincing fashion. Certainly their most convincing win since they went into New York and took care of the Jets, just beat them wire to wire, were the better team that day. A convincing statement game for the Patriots today. They put an end to Tim Tebow's 6-game winning streak, and now have a 6-game winning streak of their own. And again, sit atop the AFC for the time being at 11-3 with that 41-23 victory over the Denver Broncos. Kevin Collins was off this week. Matt LaPan did a tremendous job pinch hitting on the program today. As LaPan fills in for Kevin Collins, good work by you, buddy, giving us the stats here and also keeping us up to speed on the Patriots post-game show. Our thanks to everyone who called in to the Ace Ticket Hotline, also your emails here on the program. We will talk to you next Sunday when the Patriots take on the Miami Dolphins. Check that Saturday, as it'll actually be Christmas Eve. We'll talk to you following that game next Saturday here on Patriots.com.
It's amazing, so amazing, so amazing, so amazing. It's amazing, so amazing, so amazing, so amazing. It's amazing.
This has been the Patriots Postgame Show with Adam Jones on Patriots.com Radio. For more news, analysis, and reaction from today's game, tune into Patriots.com Radio all week. Tuesday through Thursday, starting at noon, it's PFW in Progress, Patriots Playbook, and the Pete Shepherd Show. Next Sunday, the Patriots are back home to take on the Miami Dolphins. Kickoff is set for 1 p.m. Please stay tuned for the Patriots postgame show with Adam Jones immediately following the game. Log on to Patriots.com anytime for the most up-to-date news and information on your favorite teams.